to share, but I was speaking with Becky this morning and just the importance of not praying with repetition, but praying with significance. You know, like there's a lot going on in the UK, as most people that have any ears to hear, but a lot of people have their own opinions, and that when you get 20 people together, the opinions aren't all the same. But we know that our God is a living God and that he is able. And so when we pray earnestly, you know, the word already tells us that we pray for those in power. You know, we pray for those that have not always our interests, the people's interest at heart, but that in any situation, whatever the situation is that is going on in your life, it could be as small or as big, we can pray earnestly. And, you know, when we pray to God and we end up, he's fine, Jason. He is fine. Playing with his ball, mate. Sorry. So when we pray earnestly about that situation, whatever it is that's going on in our life, then we know that God hears us, that he wants to answer that prayer more than we want to pray it. But it's not about repetition. It's not about saying the same thing over and over and over and over. Every prayer that you pray is the same over and over and over and over. It is that we go to God from the pureness of our hearts. So if you have a situation in your life that you need praying for, then you get in a quiet place, you go to God, and you get into the right detail of what you would like God to do. It's not, well, God, I have this situation, I just want you to take care of it. No, we need to get detailed. You know, like, I wanted this house. I told God exactly what I wanted in a house, right? In my private prayer, I went to town. I told God that I wanted it to be in a cul-de-sac. I wanted it to be at the top of the cul-de-sac. I wanted to have French doors out onto the garden. I wanted it to have a green door. I wanted it to be four bedrooms. I wanted the garden to be big enough for the children. I needed the garden to be enclosed. I reeled off a list that what my heart's desire was. And within, and I'm not lying, within 30 minutes of us driving around, and because we had to put areas down, of us driving around, and we pulled up at the bottom of the road, and I looked up and I said to Lawrence, that's where I want to live. God, that is it. That's all I said. And we drove home. It took about 15 minutes to drive home. Put the key in the door, a little piece of paper on the floor. And it said to ring the housing officer. And I rang her. She said, this house has just become available, but I'm not sure if it's within your area. And I said, well, where is it? And she said, it's in Pocklechurch. And I said, yes, that's my house. And Lawrence was just blown away. And that's how detailed we get when we pray. Right? If you have an illness, if you need a job, if you want a house of your dreams, if you need finances, if you need more work, you need better relationships, whatever the situation, you want your government to make sound-minded decisions, then you go to God in prayer. Because, see, it says that God never leaves us or forsakes us. He, when we pray earnestly, he hears us. And he is ready, willing, and able to answer that prayer. But, you know, if you're not getting detailed in those prayers, then don't be upset when you may get something that you don't want because you haven't asked. So you may think that you're telling God everything. You leave a couple of things out, like that woman that prayed for the red curtains, and she got red curtains. Like, we get so detailed when we're talking to God, having that relationship, that communication. You know, in John, it says that, you know, whatever we ask. Love, pass me my phone, please. he's able to do it for you. But it also says that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, in other words, we're not speaking the world's words. We're not talking about the fear. We're not talking about the negatives, the turmoil, the destruction, the death. We are talking his words. Faith, confidence, trust. That God, I know you can do this. Right? Our country is going downhill fast, right? You read everywhere, there's stabbings every day. We have more illegal immigrants being put into hotels and we're paying for it. Hallelujah, praise God, we're paying for it, right? But then you ask people's opinions and the country's divided. We're an island and we could stop the Germans coming, but we can't stop a few dinghy boats coming. It's ridiculous. Anyway, people have an opinion. But as I was sharing with Becky today, you know, I go to God in prayer, right? I don't pray repetitively. I pray for significant things that I want to happen. It's like Lawrence used to leave the toilet seat up. He used to leave the lid off the toothpaste. And they're trivial things. And I used to go on and on. Lawrence, don't leave the toilet seat up. Lawrence, please put the lid on the toothpaste. And I'd repeat it over and over and over and over. And in the end, he would do it purposely. Just to really cheese me off, I guess. So then I went to God. And I said, God, this really don't bless me, right? It's not nice that you've got to touch the toilet seat every time you need to go to the toilet. It's not nice that you won't go to use the toothpaste and it's all gone hard on the top. You know, it's just a little bit of care and a little bit of consideration for the next person that's coming along. And I would just pray it like that. And now the toilet seat's down. The lid's on the toothpaste. Right? Because, see, it's not our words that bring it to pass. Because I didn't speak those words out loud. I spoke those words to God. And those were things that were bothering me. And God wants me blessed. So God is the solution to every problem. So when we go to him and we give him our problems, he brings forth the solutions. So we're praying. We're praying for this country. We're praying that the politicians that we put in power are actually going to listen to the people. Because right now they're not listening to anyone. And they've got this real weird ideology that this is how we're going to be. But this isn't England anymore. And I'm so thankful that this isn't the place that I will dwell for all eternity. That God chose me before the foundations of the world. That God has made a place for me. And when Christ comes back, we will dwell in that eternity. That we will have that life which is more than abundant. That there'll be no fears, worries or doubts. So when we, you know, when we are able, when we abide in him and we have his words in us, when we pray, we will see the solutions. We will see mighty things come to pass because he wants to bless us more than we want to ask. All we have to do is say, well, God, here I am. This is me. This is my heart's desire. This is what I would like to see happen. But not just by what I say, but by your will, God. What's the best thing in this situation? What's the best outcome that we could have in this situation? Because the world, we all know, is governed by the adversary. But God is greater than he is. Far, far, far more greater. And so people have words, people have, you know, that it can sometimes the words can hurt like a dagger. Words can be very evil, but God's words will always be calm. They'll be easy to be entreated. They'll be beneficial. You will see prosperity. You will see positivity. These are the words that God wants in us as we speak out, that we don't speak like the world speaks, that we are a like Lawrence was sharing, we're a different, we're not of this world, we're just passing through. And God wants us to be on a smooth journey while we're passing through. And that none of these harmful things and these hateful things that are happening within our world can come anywhere near us. That we are God's only begotten children, that he loves us beyond measure. And as we abide in him and his words are in us, nothing is impossible with him. All we have to do is pray from an earnest heart. And those prayers never go unheard. And he wants you to really have a relationship with him, to pour your heart out to him. You know, I know Lawrence talks about retemeris and repeating things, but your personal prayer life, your personal prayer life shouldn't be so repetitive. There should be things in there that you really desire in from the heart and that you are praying earnestly for it. That you have, you're not just like everybody else. Well, God, I thank you for myself. I thank you for Lawrence. I thank you for the kids. I thank you for my home. No, get more in depth with your prayer and really ask God, what should I be praying? What can I pray for? Well, right now in England, you pray for those that have authority. You make sure that God works within their hearts to make the sound-minded decisions, the decisions that's going to be good for this country. You know, we're a small little island. I think somebody told me once that you could put the UK in Texas eight times. Eight times Texas is bigger than the UK. So you can, that just shows you how small we are. You know, I can drive 6 hours one way and I'd be in the ocean. I can drive 3 hours in the other direction and I'd be in the ocean from where I live. We're small, very small. And we're being governed by dictatorship, by evil right now. So there, anybody in the UK, those are the things you can be praying for. That God has his way. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. And mighty things will happen. And with God, it happens quickly. It's not that we got to wait months and years for something to happen. Right? If our prime minister needs to be out and gone, God will make a way that he's out and gone. And the next person that comes in better be law abiding, else God will have him out and gone as well, or she, whoever it may be. But in the meantime, we pray earnestly for the things that you're desiring, the things that you want, the achievements, right? Pray for your families, your children, pray for those in authority. And you watch God go to work. Bless your heart.
Okay, right. That's it. So we do have authority and we can have great influence and God can change things. Like I was talking about vibrations and energy and all this type of stuff, you know, and so what people are made of, they're made of a massive energy. So our prayers affect very, you know, our prayers are powerful and our words are powerful when we command. And, you know, God sends forth his words and his commandments run very swiftly, that's for sure. So with that, I would like to ask, Carl Morton, would you like to share?
Bless you, Lawrence. Well, yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you, mate.
Life is wonderful, and we know that God loves us more than we can really imagine. And everything he has done in the planning of our lives to be blessed. We were called to live in a life in abundance. And that means not that we can waste, but that we can be good stewards and that we can take care of the things that he has given us so that we can pass it on to other people so that they also can be blessed. And we will be able to do a fruitful work on God's behalf. You know, as kids, when we grew up, we knew that we had our parents, and if there was anything that we needed, if there was any situation that came up that we couldn't handle, and most situations that came up as kids, we could not handle. That's why we had our parents there to give us the safe port as a ship in storm can come into. And we know that also our parents took care of us and gave us what we needed. We never considered that I need a new shirt, I need a new pair of pants, I need a new pair of shoes. We never considered that because we knew that as needs arose, we were taken care of. And that thing is also the situation in our walk with God. Because whatever we need, whether it be a new pair of shoes, a new shirt, whatever it might be, He's always there and He will take care of us. And we know that when we go to God and put Him first, search Him first and His kingdom, everything that we need will be taken care of. He is always there to bless us. And we don't have to worry. We don't have to consider how to get hold of things, how we can handle things, how we should decide on things. Because as kids, we were led in doing these things. We were helped in making decisions. And God does the same thing. He helps us in making decisions. And if we do not know how to handle a situation, okay, like Lauren said, let's pray, and Kim also, let's pray about it. Give the thing to God and ask Him, how do I handle this? And I bet you, He will guide us. He will lead us. And prayer might seem, in the beginning of my walk with God, I thought a prayer, okay, that's a waste of time. I'm just sitting there. I mean, there's nothing profitable. I mean, physical coming out of it. And I thought, okay, I pray. And then a minute was gone and I was done. I was satisfied. But that's not exactly the heart that really gives the best. Because we know that when we give our heart on the line with God, He is there to help us. And I was thinking of, we don't see prayers. We don't see faith. Today I had an electrician here in the house doing some stuff that needed to be done. And I use electricity. I don't see it. I can switch on the light. I know where the switch is. And when I flip it, wow, lo and behold, there's light on. And the same with any switch that you use that is electrical. It gives the effect that it's designed for. Well, prayers are designed to give answers. And God explicitly tells us to go to Him in prayer and ask in the name of Jesus Christ for the things that we desire, for the things that we need. We can't see the prayers, neither can we see faith. But we definitely will see the results from it as God pours it down on us. I mean, it says that God will open up the doors of heaven and pour out blessings that there is not room enough to receive it. And that is what He designed for us to live. That's his the circumstances God designed for us to live in. Not the worldly circumstances, but the circumstances of God where, I mean, God is natural for us. We were designed to live with God and think about God, pray to God, and have a relationship with God. And our normal expectations, what we are designed for, is to expect God to bless us when we ask for it. As a kid, we did, didn't we? We asked for whatever it was, a glass of water if we were thirsty. Wow, we got a glass of water. When dinner was on table, it was always in time for us at the time we were hungry. And God supplies also the needs that we have. And whether it's been a glass of water or a dinner or whatever, a house or a fancy car or a whatever, laborers. I desire laborers so that I can hold forth the word of God to people so that they can be set free and see the greatness of God the way I have seen it and the way I see it daily. Because that's also one of those things we were designed for. God said, the harvest is big. In other words, go and do something about it and pray for it. And he says, he will give us. It's not that we are the ones to make up the results of what we pray for. He's the one who gives it to us. He's the one who supplies. He's the one who loves us with his wonderful heart. And he will give us whatever is on our desire, on our need, on our plate. So we are truly a blessed people. We are truly blessed because God has blessed us. And that's our walk. That's how we take one step at a time, one step before the next. And God has prepared the way for us. So we can just walk in the steps that he has prepared. There's no hardship about this. It's very simple. And it's very easy. And it's joyous. So a day in the life of Jesus Christ, let's copy that and see the same things as he saw when he saw the miracles taking place in his walk as he walked and blessed people and raised people from the dead, healed people, saw miracles left and right. And that's what I want to see. That's what I want to do. And by God, I know it's available. So, yeah, I think that's what I was inspired to say. So, thank you for the opportunity, Lawrence, to share what came on my heart. And let's hope it was beneficial for us all. So, love you all.
That's bye. Awesome, Carl Morton. Yeah, okay. So, God, it really works in you, and it's wonderful. Well, I love how God works everything together, you know, so we're all speaking the same lines and direction, and yeah, it's great to always to hear you share. And we'll have to get Britt to share soon because you haven't shared for ages. You're nice to hear her. Yeah, mention it to her for me. Say Laura would like to hear you share when you speak to her.
Actually, yeah, she doesn't like to share in public. She likes to share when, you know, on one-on-ones and things like that.
Oh, but right,
she's not the public speaker. Neither was Moses. Neither was Moses, remember?
Yeah, that's true. Come on, Britt, get your finger out. No, really joking. You're fine. So, while we're on here, and I'm talking to you, is 12:30 good for you tomorrow?
12:30 is fine with me. Thank you so much.
All right, I'll call you when I'm ready, around about that time, okay?
Right, okay, okay.
Bless you. So we've got that squared away then.
Yeah.
Bless your heart, brother. I love you, Carl.
Bless you too.
God bless you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so with that, I would like to ask Rebecca Jancy to share next. Rebecca Jancy, who's your fancy? God bless you, mate.
Hello, bless you all. Wonderful name, Jesus Christ. Thank you for getting me to share. Yeah, it's been a real great week again. It's just, you know, Darcy was 7 yesterday. And we had a real fabulous day. We have a real busy month. We've got our son's birthday on the 1st of December. And we also have their birthday party. And I was sat yesterday whilst, you know, going around doing the mum duties that you do. And I was just so thankful. I was so thankful that we are in the position. You know, it was only going to the shops, you know, going to get this, going to get that, just to make Darcy's evening as special as it could have been. And I was just in a mindset of being so thankful to God for really the really changing our lives. And, you know, because when we first set off being parents, then we really were not in no position for we wouldn't have been able to do this if it wasn't for God completely changing our lives around and really me taking the encouragement. And this week I've just really have recognised I've recognised how much God has pushed me further, and definitely how he's matured me in a way of thinking, in the way of speaking. And I've had a couple of phone calls this week from, you know, family members who are very close, that if you actually look at it carnally, then you see, you know, that because these people are older than me, you know, I very much look up to one of them. Then, you know, in the world, you would usually, if it was like your mum or an older sibling, you would go to them for advice. You would go to them. But actually, both of the people who have came to me this week have come to me and asked my advice, really just. And I just sat today and I prayed before I was asked to call this person. And I prayed and I said to God, you know, I don't want to be speaking because of emotional, you know, when emotions get involved and you have emotional connection, I don't want my opinion coming out of this. I want your opinion. I want you. I want Becky Christ to come out, not who I used to be. So when I spoke to her, I was really just so taken back, actually, that she rang me and that she asked for my advice, that she looked up to me in an understanding manner, you know, and that I was able to encourage her and give her words of wisdom. I was able to settle her heart in a moment of despair. I was able to, it wasn't me, it was God through me, but I was the voice of God for her within this situation. So when I say me, I say it's God working through me. And, you know, if I look back 7 years ago, if I look back many years ago, I was the one spiraling out of control. And I look at my mental state when I was younger, you know. So many of you do know, many of you don't know, in 2015, which is 10 years ago, which really seems quite crazy. I actually had a physical mental breakdown. My head was wobbling like this. That was the physical condition of what happened. My mum was actually very nervous for me, and she thought I had Parkinson's. So I've really seen how things can really take his toll mentally on someone. I physically experienced it. So when these people who are really going through quite a lot of mental, real mental health situations, you know, that we could either go in with our opinion and, you know, go in with, you need this, you need that, etc. Or you can really pray for these people at first, as I did. I really prayed before. And ask God, you know, I ask God, you give me the wisdom to speak to to her. And I was just also very thankful that I had experienced what, even though that would sound crazy to the world, that I'm so glad I experienced the breakdown, the things that I experienced in my younger years, because I am much more in such a better, I'm so God has really woke me up to see how much he has truly switched my whole mind around. Yes, some days aren't perfect, you know. Some days I need to pray a little bit more. Some days I need to push in a little bit more. Some days I need to, you know, do a bit of a checkup from the neck up. No one's perfect. But from where I was is an absolute miracle. From the people who were there for me at that point, that I could not, they were the ones that were really strengthened me, you know. God has always been the center, but the people around, you know, this woman looks after me as a young person. And it just, God is a miracle worker, and he really wants to have everyone's heart. He wants everyone's full focus, and he wants everyone to know him. And if we could speak and we could show people, you know, the two people I've spoken to this week, they both completely know my life from inside out, and they can see that God is the one doing the work, that the advice that I give isn't my advice anymore. This is God's advice. This is God's encouragement that is going to change our lives. But I can't change it for them. They need to take it. They need to take the advice, grab hold of it, and run with it. You know, okay, if you're going through this, then I really encourage you to ensure you're writing down. You know, if you feel you haven't got anyone to speak to, you can always come to me. You pray to God. Get it out, speak it out, but also write down the power of writing. There's practical application that helped me during my periods of anxiety, during my periods of uncertainty. There are things that practically have been given to me that I've applied that have changed my life dramatically. And it can change everyone's life if you really desire that, if you desire, you know, that actually, you know, this isn't right within my mind right now. Okay, how can I switch this? I'm not going to be able to do it, but God can do it within me. So I'm going to practically apply what is given to me, knowing that this is going to work. And the application of the encouragement is life-changing when you do it, when you honor God with your substance. First things first, you know, the first things first, you really go to God. We had a real fantastic one-on-one today, and really hearing the testimony of how Lawrence and Kim both restarted the journey with God. And I say restarted, they've always been with God, but really where the things truly changed for them, and how, you know, Lara really went to God and done this, that put it, done what God said, and God was speaking to him, and I just sat. And I was thinking, wow, like God really does. He really wants each and every one of us prosperous. He wants each and every one of us to not, you know, not break any of the commitment that we've committed to. God is faithful, and we should be faithful. And how much more is God going to be faithful when we stick to what we are encouraged by God? But I also was having another conversation with someone the other day, and I was saying, like, you've really got to know what you want. You need to be specific in your request. There's no point in saying, like, you could say, I want a car. There's thousands of cars. What car do you want? What year do you want? You know, that's such a small, that might not be the best, that might not have been I could have said that a little bit better, but what I'm saying is we need to be specific in what we want. We need to be specific in our request. We need to ensure that we're applying what is being spoken, that we're not taking it as, you know, the words of man. We're taking it as the words from God. And we are really ensuring that we are doers of the word and not hearers only. That we're really putting our hearts to God. And what is the first things first? You know, I and what I mean, like, if you're new on here, or you think, where do I start? Where you start is you sit down and you really pray and you ask God, who do you connect to? And from that, then you honour God. You honour God faithfully. And you ask God. You ask God how much. And he give it to you. He can say to you, how much do you want to give? And then God is the source of supply, you know. He is our source. There's many avenues, but God is our source. And remembering that, there's many different avenues he can bless you from. And then we speak in tongues. We're ensuring that we're speaking in tongues, you know. We usually do it for an hour in the, you know, in the morning, really focused. That's the focus. But then throughout the day, praying for labour is really praying, really asking God, having that heart that we want to be a servant to God, be of service to others. You know, having that mindset and recognizing your environment and what you're bringing to your environment and the people around you. You know, really recognizing that this is just a few things that I'm really learning right now. The things that we do are so important. The things, how we act, how we react. You know, and having that understanding heart is so important. You know, the actual conversation that happened this morning, because I messaged this person, I said to them, it was Darcy's, and it's very out of character for her. It was Darcy's birthday yesterday, is everything okay? Because it's very out of character for her not to message or anything. So, and I could have went in the carnal way, could have been all annoyed, all that. I didn't feel any inch of that. But the carnal way and the carnal and people of the world, that's my daughter. Why haven't you messaged? Like, I'm upset and make it about you. But it wasn't about, I'd seen way past the surface of that, surface level. There's so much more. If something's out of character, then what's going on deep inside that person? And then we were able to have a conversation. She was able to then reach out, and I started, and then I recognised, you know, and that if I went in and I was maybe old Becky, or I went in a manner of selfishness, of thinking about me and my little girl, that could have really torn that woman apart today. That could, so really recognizing our words, and are we being kind? Are we being understanding? You know, and really, what are you doing and what are you applying to your life? Because when you make the choice that you're going to live for God, you really want to apply everything. You want to really do the things with heart. You really want to see the word of God move. And, you know, when you decide that you're not going to let the world distract you anymore, you're not going to let the people, opinions of the world in, that you're going to say to God that you are much more important than anything, you know, any opinion, that even if the doctor's report or you know, my whatever situation might be going on, it could be fact. God is much bigger than that. So take that what you see, you know, faith comes by hearing. My gosh, I have got it written down. Because I actually see it, heard it today. The just shall live by faith and not by sight, my gosh. So we are either going to live by faith and see way above, you know, what the circumstance is, or we could live by what we're seeing in the physical. You know, God is much bigger than this, and we need to see further than what we can physically see. What can we see up here? What are we envisioning here? You know, and when we start to go from that attitude of heart, when we start to really just switch our thinking, switch the way that we used to be, being renewed in that mind every day. When we make that decision, we decide, then life really changes. Don't take you out of it and think of other people. Like, the understanding heart is what people really need. You know, you don't know what anyone is going through. That it could be surface level, they could look great. They could look great. What's going on in people's heart? And we want to get to people's God, not us. God really wants to get to people's hearts and on a deep level to get to clear out all the crap that the world is placed within them, you know, to clear everything out. He really wants that. But are you going to open your mind? Are you going to open your heart and let him in? Are you going to let him completely take the roots out? And really then, are you going to let him then plant his seed, you know, within you to then let all the different things that he wants you to become? Are you going to let that happen? Or are you just going to stay where you are? We're nearly at the end of the year. And, you know, it doesn't take till January so we can start or remake a commitment. It can happen today. It can happen now. It's just one decision, one thought away that actually, I don't want to put God second, you know, put God first. Really do a checkup and say, am I really putting God first? Am I really being fully focused, or am I being distracted off? Is my thoughts like with God and with his people, and to move with God and move with his direction, you know? And that should all really be our hearts, to move in God's direction, to be really serious, and to really ensure that we are really praying those powerful prayers. You know, that was really great what Kim shared today, and I thought, yeah, that's so right. And there are great times where, you know, when you really, really do pray from your heart, and God really moves. But we want more of that, and we want to ensure, you know, what does putting God first really mean to you? And for me, I know that every decision that I make, then to bring God into that, every decision, you know, within myself, within my children, within my finances, you know, putting God first within all that. And, you know, me and my children, we read books every night, and God was just giving me ideas, you know. He was really giving me ideas as I was reading to Darcy this evening, because I would really like to start giving, like, just short books. And, you know, even if there was like a short book of, you know, the book of Daniel or you know, Jonah and the Whale or something. And he would be just to fill their little minds up, so they start to really recognise the word of God. Obviously, reading the Bible to them might be a little bit complicated, so I need something that's shorter. So then, but God is going to supply that. And it's just the little things in life that are really going to make a huge difference, that are really going to build up a really great life for yourself. You know, that's just such a small thing, reading to my children, but, you know, what you put into them is what is going to come out. So, and it's just like us. So it's just been, a real wonderful, great week. And I'm just so thankful for God. I'm so thankful for his direction, how he just really changes us from the inside out. So, yeah, that's what I want to share. God bless you.
God bless you. It's very good. Well done. Yeah, it's really great, Becky. We had a great day today, one-on-one, and Kim, you know, get to spend that time with him as well. And I look forward to seeing you and Jack and the children on Saturday. That'd be good, coming over there for bringing Darcy's presents and little Alf's presents, and to watch the boxing and have a curry. How exciting, eh? Great fellowship together. So
That's
thank
good.
you for the wonderful sharing, dear. That was really great. And keep
No
moving in
problem.
the right direction. You're the best. God bless your heart. Hope your hair goes well tomorrow. And
Thanks.
anyway, bless your heart. So with that, I would like to ask Danny and Amber to share next.
Hello, thank you.
Hello, my little darlings. God bless
Hello,
you.
Darling. Well, God bless everyone in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And I'm very, very thankful to God for this evening and all the wonderful sharings that I have heard and what has gone into my heart. And just as Becky was sharing, I was thinking, or God was putting in my heart, that Jesus Christ has truly laid the foundation. He's given us the foundation to build upon. And now it's up to us to build on that foundation. And how do we build on that foundation? By really going to God, trusting him always, not leaning on our own understanding, going to him in prayer, but not just prayer, having an expectation. And it's really great tonight. It's been shared about being very detailed within our prayer life, being very specific, asking God, God, what do you want me to pray? What do you want me to speak? What do you want me to give? How do you want me to live? And as you ask these things, God will start to build in your life the things that are going to profit you, the things that are going to benefit you, the thing that are going to give you wisdom and joy, great abundance. And then great people will just come to you because we're building on a solid foundation, right? And being very specific with our prayers, me and Danny were talking about this on Sunday, and Kim's touched on it and Becky's touched on it. And it's so enlightening to my eyes and ears because it shows that God is really speaking. God will put things in our heart. We may have discussions with people. And then when you start to hear other brothers and sisters in Christ talk about it, you're like, wow, God is really speaking. He's highlighting something to us. And he does want us to be very specific in what we want and what we're desiring and what we're looking for in this life. And again, Lawrence was sharing at the beginning, great words from God about our abundance, about our wealth, about how God wants us to live, that he doesn't want us to store things up for ourselves, but he wants us to be in a place to give and to really do things from the heart, to really trust him with every area of our life. And the intention of our heart is very powerful because God looks at the intentions of the heart. So why are we giving? Why are we speaking in tongues? Why are we praying? Why are we even in this relationship with God? And it's because he is so mighty. He is so powerful and he's pulled us from darkness to light. Now, some of us have had very different lives. Some people may have been brought up very happy, had mums and dads in their life, great things going on. But for some of us, and I know for a lot of us here in Bristol, we've gone through quite a few challenges. It's not been easy growing up. But by the grace of God and all of his mercy and all of his greatness, he's pulled us into a place where we're now able to humble ourselves before him and really understand how great he is, that he is after those that are lost. He is after those that need to be saved. He's after those that are in darkness, in captivity, who are blind, who are deaf, who are in fear, who have anxiety. God has a desire for all these people. And guess what? He's planted you in the perfect place, in the perfect place, so that when those people come into your path, you'll have the words of life. You'll have the words of deliverance. You'll be able to set people free by the words that God gives you. And again, like Becky said, it's not us, but it's God in Christ in us. And God has called us to be very powerful. He's called us to have authority. And if we use our words and use our words with faith and use our words to speak good, then good things will come. What we will sow, we will reap. God has created his laws within the universe, not the law of Moses, but his creation law. Seed time and harvest, what you sow you will reap. Gravity, you know, all these laws that govern the universe. And if we operate in these laws with faith, with God, then signs, miracles and wonders will take place. Like, we don't have to try and figure anything out in our own strength. We just have to humble ourselves, submit ourselves to God, trust in his plan, because remember, he says his ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So when we keep seeking him and doing what he puts in our heart to do, listening to the encouragement that we know bears fruit. So for me in my life, the last 5 years, I have borne much fruit. I have gone from poverty to prosperity. I have gone from mentally being sick to being very, very healthy. I have gone from having poor relationships to an abundance of relationships. And why is that? It's because I was able to submit myself to God and say, God, here I am. I'm at the end of myself. I don't know what else to do. It got to a place where I locked myself in a cupboard for like 6 to 8 months. Obviously, I came out and I ate and I drank. But most of my time I was in that cupboard. Powerful things happened because I really hungered and thirsted after the things of God, because there was nothing else in this world that was giving me what I needed. But I'd really come to the end of everything. And then God, with his goodness, really brought me to a place where I connected with Lawrence and Kim, heard the sound encouragement, humbled myself to that, and then just continued to grow in that, like a flower. Like, it gets planted into good ground, into good soil, and then it germinates, and then it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it produces, and it becomes beautiful and glorious, handpicked by God. And that's what each and every one of you are, handpicked by God. You are worthy. You are blessed. You are loved. You are called and chosen, and God has a great purpose for your life. And you just have to see that purpose. You just have to see that vision. You have to believe that vision. Because I live my life with God. I have a great life with God. But are you? Because it's available to all of you. I can't live your life. I can't live anyone else's life. I can only live my life. I can only be accountable for my actions and what I can do in front of God. And so that's all of us, you know. And God is the one that brings good things to our path. Like, it's him that gives us the power to get wealth. I loved what Becky shared about he is the source, and there are many, many avenues. And yes, one of those avenues are having laborers and ready to go harvest fields. Not that we rely on people for finances, we rely on God. But in and amongst that, God will give other ideas and other inspirations. And if you act and stand out in faith, like, he will bring that into fruition. He will bring that to greatness if you just step out in faith, if you get specific in your prayers. Like, if God puts something in your heart that seems way out there, way out of the box, way into the universe, when he puts that in your heart, if you go back to him and say, God, this is really on my heart, but I'm way out of my comfort zone. I'm way out of my league. Like, is this you or is this me? Then he will show you. And if it's him, if you step out in faith, he will truly, truly, truly bring great things to you. Because remember, it's him, God, who gives us the power to get wealth. But we have to remember that whatever God has given us to steward is God's. It's never our own. Now, there's many people in the world who would say, well, I worked hard for this, or I did this, or I did that. Like, it's God. It's God who's given us this ability, especially when you've been in such poverty and then your life's turned around. Like, how can you not give thanks to God? How can you not honor him with your seed? Why would you want to hold on to what is already God's? Like, freely he's given, or freely we receive, now freely we give. And it's truly a great life unto God. And he will never leave us in darkness. He will never leave us in the unknown. He will never leave us in trouble. He will always make a way for us to escape. And so back to the prayers, we get very specific with what we want and what we need. And then we align our confession with those prayers. There's no point you saying to God, I don't know, let's use finances. God, I desire a £4,000 increase a month, but then you're speaking against that. I have no money. My bank account's low. I'm always in the red. Like, how is that faith? Like, if you're desiring and you've got specific, then you speak it. Like, I have great abundance. God has increased me greatly. I have a beautiful home. I live in a beautiful four-bedroom house, and each child in my home has their own room. You know, we bring into alignment with our words what we're praying for. And then we sow our seed in agreement with that too. And we trust in God's plan. We don't trust in our own plan. We trust in God's plan. And we keep moving forward in faith and in excitement and in joy. And there truly is joy and peace in believing. And, you know, this morning I woke up very early, and I've shared with you all before that I made the commitment to God that when he was to wake me up, no matter what time it was, I was going to get out of my bed and I was going to give that time to him. Now, it don't matter if I felt tired throughout the day or I felt a bit weak. There's nothing a Lucozade can't fix. That I would get up and I would just give that time to God. And so this morning, God woke me up at 4 a.m., very dark here, and I got up and I creaked into my living room, put the light on, and I just started to ask God why he'd woke me up so early and what did I need to pray for and what was on his heart for me for this day. And he kept bringing to my heart the fruit of the Spirit, you know, and we all know the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Like, these are all a fruit of our spirit. These are naturally a part of us. And as we put on the mind of Christ, these fruit will come from us. And as I was meditating on this scripture, as I was meditating on these words, God just put it into my heart: go deeper into these words. Go deeper into what these words mean, because we can all quote scripture, we can all know what God says, but do we have an in-depth understanding of what he's communicating to us as an individual? And you know, one of the things that really, really stood out to me was joy. It was the word joy. And what I looked into, and as I was looking deeper, I just read it down, and it's a state of deep inner assurance and cheerfulness that remains consistent and constant, independent of our outward circumstance. Like, when I was going through that this morning, I had tears rolling down my eyes. I was like, wow, God, like, what a life it is to live in joy. What a life it is to have such joy, no matter of our circumstances, no matter of the situations going on around us, to have joy, a state of deep inner assurance and cheerfulness that remains constant. Like, God wants us to remain constant in all that he's given us. And joy is a very powerful thing. If you can wake up joyful, go to bed joyful, and what incorporates with that, being thankful, having a heart of gratitude, then it enhances our prayer life, because we're not praying out of a need or out of despair or out of worry, but we're praying from a joyful heart unto God for what he wants for us and for others. Because this life just isn't about us, but it's about everyone, like everyone who God brings to our path. So as I was going through, I won't go through all that I writ, but joy really stood out to me, because I love being joyful. Like, I don't want to be boastful when I say this, but I don't let circumstances affect me, because I know God is way bigger than my circumstance. That doesn't mean that circumstances don't come. It doesn't mean that we're not faced with certain situations, but what it means is that we're able to rise above it, continuing to build on that foundation that Christ has laid for us, continuing to walk in faith and not by sight, continuing to endure the things going on in this world so that we will be rewarded greatly by our God. And It's just really great. Like, it's just really great when we know the heart of God and we're people, men and women after God's own heart, no longer after our own heart, no longer after the hearts of men, no longer being people pleasers, but being children of the Most High God, led of His Spirit, led by His truth, walking in that joy, that peace, that patience, that kindness, having faithfulness and self-control, being gentle in every area. You know, when that person says something about you or does something you don't like, that you're able to turn the other cheek and have joy, that you're not getting quickly offended, but you're really just being fruitful in all that you do. So my words today are from God to say to you, you are a beautiful flower blossoming into greatness. Like, God really has handpicked you, and He has a plan for you. He has hope before you, and everything you're desiring, get specific. Like, I desire a laborer, another laborer. And you know, I'll say it very confidently, before the end of this year is out, I will have another laborer, not because I am anything, but because my desire is specific. I want someone like Amber. Now, again, that's not being boastful, but I really do love God, and I'm really reliant on God. I desire someone who's going to be really reliant on God. And so God's going to bring that person before the end of the year. Like, this fellowship, I've been praying for it to grow for many years and many months. But I understand also that there's seasons, but I don't look at it. I just continue to pray, get detailed, confess, and our confession will be unto wholeness. So have a wonderful week. Be very blessed. Be very confident in who you are. There may be circumstances this thrown at you. You may not understand everything that's going on in this world. But I tell you, if you understand who God is and who He's called you to be, everything for you as an individual will always be okay. So God has blessed you, and I love you, and I'm going to pass you on to Danny.
Wow. Hot and on fire. Everyone's hot and on fire. We serve a great God, a living God. And God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And again, I'm just so thankful to God to be able to share what He's doing in my life. And just hearing everyone, I feel very, very encouraged, very fired up, very excited, and a high expectancy upon God and what He has in store for me and for everyone. Because God really does have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And when we really focus our heart and our mind unto God and really go to Him, He really is able to direct us. He's able to give us every bit of information that we need for that moment. Because, like, God is very, very personal. And this is why Christ came, so that we could have a relationship with God. Like, we could go directly to God through Jesus Christ, like direct access. And so this is very, very powerful. You know, like Jesus said to the disciples, now you receive power. Okay, now you receive power. You go, you begin, you go. So, like, the same for us. Now we believe God raised Christ from the dead. We confess with our mouth Christ is Lord. We've received that Spirit. So now we can do the same works as Jesus Christ. We can do the same works as the apostles. It's just believing that we are as He is. Like, we really are as He is. And, you know, the power is in our mouth. You know, that dunamis, that potential power is in us. And when we utilize, God really will manifest what we're speaking. Because we're believing what God is teaching us, the heavenly words. Is our only report. Like, those heavenly words is the report of God, and that's what we stand by. And when we look through the scriptures, the men of God listened to what God was instructing them to do. And what happened? They were blessed. When David was instructed and did exactly as God said, he was blessed. Solomon, same, he was blessed. Joshua, Joseph. So we have great examples. So, like, God is speaking today. Hearken to these words. As He is, so are you in this world. This is
as Christ is. You are not no longer like the devil doesn't run because of Danny. The devil runs because of Christ in me. It's Christ in us. This is the new identity that we've received through that spirit of Christ. Now we have the new man, and that's where we operate from. Like, we don't try and make the old man good, like our downfalls. Oh, I need to make this better. No, like, you are as he is, and you forget that as dung. It's done. That's past. New man. So I do have the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, I can think good. I can say good with my mouth. Oh, I can command in the name of Jesus Christ. When we believe the report of the men of God, like when the people believed the report of the men that were speaking for God in the old, and they hearkened and they listened, they were blessed, they were saved. But the ones that did not hearken, they missed out. They were without. So when we hearken upon the word of God, like, not the word which is being spoken forth. Like, Dad, you shared many, many great words which really, really blessed me and just really shows that sometimes in life, as we will, we're all going to do it. We do go by our own wisdom, but we don't want to do that. We want to do everything with God, and we want to respond with the heart of God, with the words of God, because our words can really tear down. But the words from God bring life, bring edification, bring, you know, because like the devil doesn't want you to know your identity. He wants you to be in the same routine. He wants you to be like you have to go with the narrative of everyone else. And, you know, when it was the same in the scriptures, like the prophets of old, the narrative always went against them, but they trusted God. Joseph trusted God. He was affirmed. And even though he went through his ups and downs, God made him the great overseer. And they went through trials, like his own family chucked him out, abandoned him. But God turned it all around for him. So, like, you know, we're never alone. And it may feel we've been put in a corner, and it may feel like, why me, Lord, why me? But it's not. That's just a trick to make you not know who you are. But now you've received power, you've got potential power living in you. When we just believe the report that you are a son of God, you've got great power. And when you say to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, but shall believe those things which you're saying, you will have whatsoever you sayeth. And so, like, this is why we come to God and we allow him to lead us and guide us with a humbleness and humility, because that's where we will grow. And so, like, again, it's just very, very powerful and very, very simple. This isn't rocket science. Like, you know, if you want to see God's power in your life, you need to, you know, it's like, again, it's been shared tonight. Where are your roots really, you know, where have you planted your roots? Where are you getting your information, your food from? Because that is what is going to come out of you. So if we've got our roots planted by the rivers of living water, we're going to be nourishly fed. We're going to be wise in our choice making, in living. Life and living will know exactly what to do because we've got the Spirit of God directing us, and it will show us. We can discern what is good, what is bad. You know, I've been in situations and places where I know there's spiritual wickedness going on. You can just feel it. You can walk into the room and you just know when you're with believers, because the Spirit is fresh, is light, is powerful. So, like, when you're really walking with God, you can be tapped in. And it just comes down to, again, the hunger and desire. Those that are hungry and thirsty, you shall be filled. So, if, you know, if you're not so hungry, but you're hungry for the narrative of the world, for the parties, for the whatever it may be, then that's what you're going to receive through your life. That's what you're going to manifest. That's what you're going to attract to you. But if we do everything, it was the same with the disciples. They had a choice to follow Jesus or to do their own thing. But when they followed and was committed to what Christ was instructing them to do, they seen signs, miracles, and wonders. So very, very simple. We just hearken to the words that are being shared, especially on here, especially through my dad. Like, if we hearken and take and really practice, because this is instruction in righteousness. So it's not just do what you want, do what you think, but it's all done in love and respect unto God, being led of the Spirit of God. Like, no one's better than anyone. We esteem each other higher than ourselves. That is the goal. Like, the goal is to see people grow and walk with God, walk by the Spirit, have devil spirits running away, have money miracles happening. Like, Jesus brought money out of the fish's mouth so Peter could go pay the taxes or whatever that was. So, like, God is not limited. He's only limited by our thoughts and what we know through our knowledge. Like, we've been so trained to live a certain way, but when you start to, when God starts to reveal and you start to move, it's powerful. And it is a spiritual battle. You can't fight a spiritual battle if you're carnal. So the way we fight our spiritual warfare is by submitting unto God. And then we begin, then we move. And when we speak, our words will have weight. It will have power, because the word of God bringeth light. And darkness cannot comprehend it. It cannot stick around. And that's what you withhold within you, within Christ, within you, is those words. The words of Peter, I like to say it, because Peter's words by the Spirit of God saved 3,000. If Peter went on track, God could have maybe used someone else. But no, Peter was the one. And it was by the Spirit of God working in him. He was manifesting. He was showing us. Look, speak in tongues. Then just speak by the Spirit of God. Then just continue this way. Don't be entangled again with the fears, worries, doubt. No. You stand strong. Like, they were like, in a sense, people probably found them weird. You know, they weren't following the customs of the Jews anymore. They were doing what Christ was teaching them to do. So, like, again, all these things, but they stood strong. They stood forth what God wanted them to speak. The amount of times they got put in front of the rulers, like the high priests, and, like, just go read those little things, those little moments when the disciples were with them. It's powerful. Like, the Spirit of God worked in them greatly. And so, like, God is with us, and we just need to believe God's report, not the world's report. Stop believing the world's report and narrative of what may seem real. What may seem real. Oh, this is very factual. This is the very thing. But faith can move mountains. And unfortunately, in this life, people don't want to give hope. People doesn't want to give happiness or life. Like, hope is a very sad thing in this country, but we're the ones that can bring hope. And that's what people really need in this life, is hope. And Jesus Christ is the greatest hope, and we carry that. So when we're being led of God, we're going to reach people, and God's going to get the glory within our life. And so we have so much to give. And when we really hearken unto what God is showing us to do, when we become meek and humble and to the end of ourselves, as Amber says, like, we just need to come to the end of ourselves and really practice these things. Stop the complaining out of your mouth, like, Dad, you blessed me because you were sharing it. You know, like, that's what the children of Israel did. And look where it ended up. As believers, especially in the age of grace, we got to try. Like, I put my hand up. I'm very quick and easy to moan and complain, and I do get put in my place, thanks be to God, by my wife, even by the kids sometimes. You know, they say you're very negative. Like, earlier we were just here, me, Jaden, and Kiki were sat at the table, we were just singing along. We were singing, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, where? And if the devil doesn't, like, it's just so funny, it's just so sweet, good words. These are good words. Wake up and sing that you've got the joy, joy in your heart. And, like, it's just very, very powerful what we have. and where we can go with this. Like, again, it's just how hungry we really are. And there's many times that God brings me back to, of times where I've been really hungry. And there's been times where I've not been so hungry. So, like, I'm always remembrance to be meek and humble and not get so fatty with things, but to stay meek, stay humble. To stay teachable. Because, like, there's so much for us to learn. And, you know, we don't all have it right. We're not all perfect. But if we can do what God is showing us to do, it's like that's, you know, we say, do what God puts in your heart. And a lot of times I've not done it and I've not been blessed. But when I really do, and they could be really also carnal things that God is working in my heart to do, which really blesses me. So, like, God is just so great and he's for you. And, like, again, like our heart, I know my heart, my dad, my mum's, my wife's Amber, our heart is to see people really walk with God, to have that affirmed a relationship so that you are blessed, that you are walking in power, that we're not, you know, because we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, and Satan wants you ignorant of his devices. So, like, and we ain't short of that. And so we will encourage you to be strong. Say from your mouth, you confess unto wholeness, like you did to get saved. You say it from your mouth. You believe it with your heart, like God has already brought it into accomplishment for you. And you don't have to have no messing. You are a child of God. And so you do what you need to do, like you speak in tongues much. This is important. Do it. It's for your benefit. Honoring God with your finances. This is for your benefit. Praying is for your benefit, fellowshipping with the believers, looking to bless, looking to give, looking to serve. These are what we want to sow our time and our energy into, because these are the spiritual practices. And Christ did it all. He did all those things. And so we are as he is. We do have the Spirit of Christ, and we are chosen. And so it says, you know, let's be imitators of him, of God. Let's imitate. We've had the example. We've got the example living in us. And so we can really do this. It's just a decision to do it and to be focused and not to allow hurt of the past keep you where you are. Because it's past. It's done. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow is yet to come. But today is the day of salvation. Every day you wake up is the day of salvation. It's the day where you can either choose life or choose death. So it's down to the recipient. You have free will choice. And my encouragement to you is to choose life this day and to walk with God. Say from your mouth. And if you're not feeling it, then be encouraged by a brother or sister in Christ. That will give you the right encouragement. That will give you the words from God that will bring you back to your spiritual mindset. Because we all have our moments, and that's okay. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The point is that we're new in Christ, and that's where we want to focus. That's where we want to keep our mind. And yeah, so that's pretty much what's on my heart. I love each and every one of you, and I'm just so thankful to God. So yeah. And just one more thing, just very, very blessed, because God is, again, is just very blessed me greatly this week with work and just finding so much favor in everything that I'm doing. Like, it's just so great. Like, so much favor in my work, in just everything that we're doing. God is really blessing us, and it's just really great. Like, it really is happy, Phil. And God wants you, like, even if any situation rolls up, God, there's nothing that God can't handle. Like, we don't need to think for tomorrow, you know, what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat. But we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added unto us. So I do love each and every one of you. Don't be disheartened, don't be dismayed, but be of courage, be of good cheer. And that's it. So love you.
God bless everyone.
God bless you, Amber. God bless you, Daddy. Wonderful heavenly words, and God works in you, and he's doing the work for you too. And it's really great to hear you share, and also to know what's going on as well. for you and your fellowship and your people and your fellowship and the kids. So keep moving in the right direction. Keep it hot to trot, baby. So that'd be great. With that, I'd like to ask Fan Patterson next. And if you're able to share, Fan, are you there, bro? Mr. Fan?
Yeah, hang on one second. I'm driving, but yes, I'm able okay. to share. Yeah. So yeah, I actually just got off the phone. I'm a direction giver. I'm giving directions to Brando. She's on her way home. She needed directions, but it's okay. I got her to the house, and I'm heading from home. I mean from work. That's where I'm heading from. But I was on the phone for probably 30 minutes with her, but I wasn't able to hear, but I was from the beginning, yes, but then the last 30 minutes, no. But anyway, the biggest thing for me is that distractions and that teachings that you, or that God gave you on distractions is huge. Standing in that is vital for my life. I mean, and that's what God's showing me is to, and then it was a couple weeks back or maybe 2 weeks back where you were talking about how Sanjay had come over and you told Danny not to tell him about the Matrix. And then you explained that whole story, but then you also, there was a teaching that you did. You know, about the, you know, as words are coming at you, just, you know, get them out of the way. Fiery darts of the wicked. Now, obviously, people that are saying them are not necessarily the wicked, but they're still fiery darts. So you have to, depending on obviously who they are, you have to discern that. And that's obviously one of the operations of the Spirit of God. You have to discern that. But the main thing for me is not letting those land and take effect to where I take it in and then react to those words with me, 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 me. Stop, you know, cast every high thing that exalts itself in the knowledge of God, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So that thing that's trying to hurt me, okay, it's okay to feel the feeling, but now to react to it, okay, no. How am I going to react to it? That's free will choice on my part. So I have to free will react a correct way. And the correct way is be an imitator of my Father. The great example we have is, you know, Jesus Christ, when he set his jaw like a flint and said, hey, I'm going to go through this, I'm going to go through and I'm going to give my life, you know, and that's what it says for us to do also for others. Thankfully, we don't have to do what he did because he's done it already. We mentally do it. So it's a mental thing that we do. Mentally, we're able to do it. So there's where the issue is, distractions, emotions, feelings, and you've been hitting on that a lot lately. And of course, it's probably been popping up with all the connects. And I can't tell you enough, I probably connected with Lawrence probably two times more than I normally do. At least three times. Cause things had popped up and I needed some advice because at the time, and you have to know yourself am I making the right choice? Am I listening? Am I able to listen? And so I say that connection is vital. Obviously, all of them are vital, But it's that, and it's just a practice. And the biggest thing is not to condemn yourselves, because, man, you talk about number one making mistakes. You're looking at them right here. So, but that's okay, because there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. And I have the mind of Christ, so I'm able to do what we were just talking about, stopping those distractions from coming in. And they come from all angles. And like the teaching said, he knows that if he can get you distracted and off in another area, then you're not available to minister or to love or to be tender or kind or gentle to people out here that need it. Just like we all need it too. We need to be ministered too. That's the reason for the connection. The connection, Lawrence is not just sitting around his house, you know, twiddling his thumbs. I mean, he makes a joke about it, about, you know, because I can tell you, without Kim, he would not be able to do what he's doing. So we need to continue to pray for her, because she, that marriage is a representation of the body of Christ. It's clear right there in Ephesians 5. And he jokes around a lot about it. And actually, me, when I get on the phone, the connection, me and him are joking around about it too, which brings me a lot of joy. So, but anyway, that's a representation. So the resting in that, Ephesians 5, is key. And that's a practice. So those are things that I'm learning and growing in, and just walking in that. And then Becca pointed out about planting uprooting, which Bambi had mentioned a long time ago, but God told Becca to say that today about uprooting. In order for things to be uprooted from your life, things that do not serve you, things that old man nature stuff, because we are made in the new man. It's okay. So we're currently, Christ said it's finished. There's no more work that we need to do. We don't have to go dig a ditch. We don't have to go do anything. We just got to put on the new man. That's all we have to do. And where do you put on the new man? You put on the new man in your mind and in your heart. That's where you put the new man on. So anything that's stopping that, old patterns, old paradigms, old thoughts, old thinking, needs to be pulled up by the roots. And sometimes it's quick and easy. Sometimes it's immediate. Sometimes it might take a little bit longer because of whatever reason. But it doesn't matter. Do not give up. Do not give up. I'm a perfect example of not giving up. And all of you guys are too. Not giving up. There's many, many people that just give up and stay in the patterns and paradigms that they live in, and they just go through the same routines over and over. You should be trying to grow, asking God to correct you, guide you, teach me, show me your ways. Show me your paths, you know, correct me. And then we're back to the mind. In order for that to happen, you have to be humble and meek, and you really desire. And then when Kim started it off about be very specific, I mean, a little thing like a toilet seat being up, okay, irritated her. Okay. Well, God wanted her blessed. She went to her Heavenly Father. She got tired of going to Lawrence. Forget him. She went to her Heavenly Father, which is way greater than Lawrence. So she went to him and then let God work in him. So she didn't have to do anything except for rest at that, like it says in Psalm 23, God always brings me back to that. At that banquet table, we rest and we see our enemies being put down by our Father while we're being fed at a banquet table. And then we're resting in the grass, and then we're by the living waters. And then our souls are restored. So the connection is huge. That's where you get your, well, that's just one place you get it restored. But it's huge to get that off, because you can get a lot of stuff off your heart, off your mind, and get direction and wisdom and guidance from God. So that is huge. Obviously, speaking in tongues is perfect prayer. Obviously, tithing, abundance sharing, giving, whatever you want to call it, offerings, whatever you want to call it. And it's, for me, I'm asking, you know, so that my heart is thankful, what do I want to give? You know, what will make me thankful? You know, and that's what I'm asking. So what will make me thankful? And then, you know, I'll get a number, and then bang. It's like the recording thing. That came to me, and so we're in the process of doing that. I don't know where we are. We'll figure it out. We'll hear it when we hear it. And I guarantee you God will answer that too. All prayers are yes and amen, right? So everything we pray, like Kim was saying, is going to get answered, yes and amen. So it'll get, so whether it's with your understanding or praying in the spirit, either way, it's going to get done. So we just walk that way, put the new man on, love one another, love yourself so that you can love others. So now there's the big one for me. Love myself so I can love others. Because if you're not loving yourself, how are you able to love others? You know, it's by the grace of God that you're able to do it, but you really, really want to get into that loving yourself. But that doesn't mean ego-wise, and we joke around on here, hey, this and that. But no, God knows our hearts, so he knows where we're at, and he's able to, if you're, again, back to the mind and the heart, if you're humble and meek, and you desire that correctiveness, and you want to be corrected and guided in a situation, any situation, doesn't matter what it is, he'll guide you and direct you and correct you if you ask him. But he's not going to correct you and guide you if you're not going to listen, because, you know, not that he can do anything, but he's definitely, if again, he doesn't break our free will. As far as I know, he don't break free will. I'm sure there's certain circumstances and situations, people possessed and things like that, where Jesus Christ came upon that man, and the demons cried out, and then God told him, we're able to do that and greater. So, you know, get out. And then he sent it to the pigs. Okay. Go to the pigs. That was a lesson for us, you know, to see that this is exactly what we're dealing with out here. Devil spirits and issues like that. So, and we have to, as Becca said, we have to be tender. She was talking about dealing with a family member and how she didn't jump right in and, you know, she was tender, gentle until God gave her the words, and then it was effective. Because you can speak God's word to people, and it'll sound like garbage to them. But if you speak it at the right time, when our Father tells us to speak it, and that's just walking, putting on the new man, walking in the Spirit of God, and then doing what he says to do, then with that guidance and direction, it's always easy and gentle and peaceful. And, sometimes it's, so it's that way. So that's what I wanted to share. Love you guys. Always a blessing to be on here. And I'm off to feed some animals, chickens and some cats. Not in that order.
Bless your heart, Van. That was really great, bro. Love you very much. And, I'm glad you got to share. I'm going to ask Laverne, who you spoke with and who is now joining us on the Zoom. Laverne, would you like to share? You have to unmute your mic, love.
Hello, Pastor Lawrence. And
hello, darling. God bless you.
God bless you, too. I actually have a very awesome report to share with you all. I've already shared it with Mr. Van. And you know you prayed for me on, I guess it was two Thursdays ago, maybe three Thursdays ago now, when he called you from the gun shop where we met in Jacksonville, Florida, in the United States, which is where I am currently. And I had been diagnosed with a lot of rare disorders, but at that particular day, I was dealing with cataract surgery that was scheduled to take place the upcoming Tuesday. And Mr. Van had run into me there in Jacksonville. We were both out of place, apparently not supposed to be where we were. We had other commitments that we were actually supposed to be at, but God ordained that we would meet. And he just walked up to me in the gun shop and asked me, was I a child of God? And I was like, yes. And he said, well, you know, God has directed me to ask you, what are you in the need of prayer for? And then he said, let me let you know, I'm married. And he showed me his wedding ring, 8 days married, he said, and showed me his wife's picture, and asked me if I was in a relationship, which I told him that I am, but I am divorced, but I am in a relationship. And so he said, well, I'd like to pray. If you have a need that you would like to have prayed for, I'd like to do a very quick prayer with you if you don't mind. And I said, no, I don't mind. And so he very quickly, I told him what I was dealing with. He said a prayer for healing. For he asked me if I believed in the Bible. Yes, I do. And he said, well, in Isaiah, I said, yes, Isaiah 53, I know Jesus said he went to the cross, and we kind of like quoted the scripture together, 53 verse 4, that by his stripes we were healed over 2,000 years ago. And since we were healed, that means that our body is healed today. And if it is not, then it is operating illegally according to the law and basically the promises of God, which is healing for our bodies, healing period. Because we're made in the likeness and image of him. So we should not be dealing with anything that is not unlike God. So immediately after the prayer, I got a phone call from the ophthalmologist, Dr. Bowden. And I stepped away. I said, thank you, Mr. Van. And stepped away and went outside because I didn't have anything to write. They were trying to give me some information for the upcoming procedure. And they were telling me about finances, that they had misquoted because I was paying out of pocket. And at that point, it was like $10,000 for both eyes to get the surgeries done. I did not have $10,000. I used to have $10,000, but I no longer have $10,000 in my hand that I am aware of. So when they told me it was like less than $2,500 per eye, I was like, oh, that's a blessing. We just prayed. I'm like thinking, okay, so prayer, healing, that means financial healing too. So I'm like claiming all of the healing. And so Mr. Van at that point had stepped outside of the shop as well. And I rushed back over to him to share with him the great news that they just slashed the price for the surgery. He said, Miss Laverne, we prayed for healing of the cataracts, not for financial. He said, you can receive that, but we prayed specifically that your eyes would not need to be operated on because you are walking and operating by faith in the Word of God, which is for healing. He said, I tell you what, and by that time, he had already shared your ministry with me inside, so I had already pulled your ministry on my phone. And he said, I'm going to reach out to my pastor, Pastor Lawrence. He said, do you mind sitting in my car with me while we give him a call? He said, it's 3 o'clock in London. He should be up by now. He's doing the work of God. He said, let's give him. He dialed you up. You answered. He basically pitched to me. I introduced myself to you by phone and told you my 12 plus years history of rare disorders which included Sjogren's syndrome, the cataracts, which is new, that had just come upon me this past March, as far as I knew, and I had just gotten new glasses, two pairs, both shades in these, which transition as well. And then I started sharing some of the other things that I have been diagnosed with Behçet syndrome, which also affects the eyes, joints, rheumatoid arthritis, HATTR. I just went down the grocery list of diseases and special rare disorders, all rare, including manic bipolar type 1, which that was what I think I ended on. And by then I'm like crying buckets of tears. Now with Sjogren's is a diagnosis, in case you all are not aware, you're unable to cry. I've been crying for like the last 8 weeks, literally, like at the drop of a pen, just tears just flow, which was to me confirmation that healing was already manifesting. And when Mr. Van prayed for me, and then you prayed, and before you prayed, you told me about you've been in ministry for over 30 years, and that your first prayer of healing was for a lady in England who had cataracts in both eyes, and that God directed you to take your thumbs and put them over her eye sockets and to pray, just a very simple prayer, that by his stripes she was healed, and since she was healed, she is healed, and she just needs to go and confirm the healing with the doctors. And I think you even said something along the line that the prayer was so simple, even you were like, God, is that it? And God's like, yes, that's it. That's my word stands. It does not return unto me void, basically. And so, again, I'm like just weeping. And so Mr. Van and I are sitting in the car, and he says, well, Pastor, you're not here, but I am here with Miss Laverne. He said, I'm going to cup my hands over her eyes, and I'm going to pray what you prayed for the lady 30 years ago. And we're going to believe that she is healed. And then you said something along the lines that with the manic bipolar, which is a rare condition where you don't get depressed, you instead get hyper. You stay normal or you go hype. And the hyper is you go up into the throne room and you're with God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, according to the doctors when I got diagnosed 10 years ago. That's the rare mind disorder that I was diagnosed with. And I was able to trace it back 10 years, every 10 years to the time when I was like 9 years old, when I started getting creative thoughts and ideas. Even the iPhone, back when I was that age, which was in the 70s, iPhone was not even developed with the picture and everything. So I remember daydreaming about stuff and God giving me poems and witty ideas and inventions just throughout the years in 10-year increments. And even my college friends were like, yeah, I remember at this particular time frame, you were doing this, this, and this, and this. I'm a published author. I'm a movie maker. I'm a licensed massage therapist. I am, I guess I am an inventor. I'm a poet. I'm a product designer, jewelry designer, clothing designer. I've done it all. I have been through so many different fields and industries where God has equipped and trained me, I believe, to understand different things. HR management, accounts payable and receivables management, financial analysts, Level 5 at Florida Blue recently, teacher in humanities, English, and just all over general education for special needs kids, associate director at a special needs school, assistant to the principal at a charter school, both Russian and English, yes, and radio and television, which is what my major is, television news editor, chief editor, satellite operations producer, camera person. Yes, God has totally blessed me. And so as I look back over the years and just recall all of the things that he has delivered me from. I was abused from the age of 7 at least until 15 when I was great. I have been married and divorced, have a birth child, have 2 adopted children, have several godchildren. I am abundantly blessed. I have no grandkids, but my goddaughter is pregnant with a baby. She did lose one. She was having twins, but she's over. She's in her 2nd trimester now. So I look forward to that grandbaby. But her granddogs. I am blessed, and I am so blessed to have met Mr. Van and your ministry, and I am attached to a very solid God Foundation Word Preaching Ministry Impact Church, Impact Church of Jacksonville, which is led by Bishop George L. Davis, and we have international ministry connections as well. But I am always open to being fed and connecting with other believers in Christ. And just over the last several weeks since I met Mr. Van, since before then, actually, I am about to launch a God purpose that he gave me 10 years ago with everything else that he kind of like announced that I would do. And it's huge. It's a mobile spa. And it's not just like a car or a truck or a van. It's a recreational vehicle series of 3 mobile spas that will address patients, people who are sick, who are like an ICU, SICU, who don't get the human touch as massage therapists, beauty makeovers, hair, nail, face, exercise, therapy, nonprofit. Then there's professional service people that can't normally take time off, or people who can, but it's a spa on wheels that comes to them and parks in front of their home or their business or their hospital or their wherever they're at, nursing home, hospice, whatever God directs me. And then the last arm is dogs and horses, pets, equines, and canines only. And that is so big. When he gave it to me 10 years ago and I tried to do it, I haven't had a mental breakdown, which is how I got diagnosed with the manic bipolar type 1, which to me was a blessing until, and I'm coming back around to what you were saying before Mr. Van prayed for me. He said that even though that seemed like a good thing, it was still something that was not of God, in that it was a disease of the mind. Even though it took me up into his throne room, and I remember touching the hem of his garment 10 years ago and declaring by the blood of Jesus, I am healed, whole, and well, and did not have the faith to stand on that from 10 years ago, and my faith wavered. And even though I was getting partial healings on some things, I was still struggling health-wise and stress-wise. And like I told Ms. Van, I think I might have mentioned, my hair used to be down to my lower back area, and it all fell out. It all fell out with stress and everything. And it's growing back as well. Everything that I have quoted, I sent the text to Mr. Van so he can share it with the ministry, of all of the healings, of all of the rare disorders. And I just left the doctor's office today at Mayo, which is where I was driving back from when I joined the Zoom, and they did the nerve neuropathy test, and they've already posted the results. All good, all normal, from last year abnormal. And this is with the latest diagnosis of HATTR, which is a overproduction of protein in your body that gathers around systems in your body and prevents those systems from operating as they should. But God's word has arrested that, has arrested Sjogren's, has arrested Behçet's, has arrested high blood pressure, has arrested the left heart ventricular valve disease disorder. All again, tests coming back normal. Doctors saying they don't see any physical symptoms, no rheumatoid arthritis. As a licensed massage therapist, I was literally starting to stress because I'm like, I can't work if I can't use my hands. I can't do what God is calling me to do with the massage launch if I can't use my hand, if I can't get out of bed because I'm too swollen from soft tissue, whatever, from disease, from something that's operating illegally in my body. And when I decided to stand firm like you encouraged me to, Pastor Lawrence, on the Word of God, no matter what it looked like, no matter what I felt like, I got up every morning, woke up between 2:30 a.m. every morning for the last 3 weeks. I've been waking up, communing with God, reading His Word, reading my actual physical Bible, not just what's on my cell phone and looking at Bible, you know, versions, but reading my hard copy Bible like I used to, underlining scriptures. And yes, I still use the mobile apps and everything, but it is so much more rewarding to just see the Word, put my hands on the Word, because I'm a reader. I am a very avid reader as well as a writer. And I found manuscripts that I wrote 20 and 12 years ago, half finished, that I thought were lost to me in this time period. I have found books and
Looks like new work
in me. He has, like, totally, I am so drunk nowadays on the Spirit. This is my first time sitting at my desktop computer because God has been telling me to wait. He's incubating right now. He's been telling me to get the right posture, that posture of prayer, thanksgiving, and servant attitude, which I've always loved to give and given out to the point where it's been detrimental to me. I always looked out for others, just like I heard people on the call say earlier, they didn't love them enough because they were so busy loving everybody else. That's always been me. I've always been, I will give you my last, and I have. And when I didn't have, God, at first I thought everybody had abandoned me, but now I know that God had isolated me. And that He allowed that to happen. He allowed me to lose a job making $70,000 because I wasn't on my purpose. I wasn't following the purpose I knew He had called me to do with the businesses. I was doing everything else for everybody else but what God had ordered me to do. And Proverbs 3:5-6, where He will make your path straight as long as you do not try to lean to your own understanding, but acknowledge Him, trust Him in all your ways. All of that is now so full inside of me that it's like even now I can feel the tears welling up in my eyes. Tears that I was told with Sjogren's, you can't cry. Because Sjogren's is a dry eye condition where you have no tears to cry. You have to have surgery in order to bring tears forth. And I've done that for like 4 or 5 years, with the exception of this year and last year. And so I am sharing this, and I haven't yet shared it with everyone here. Everyone's been expecting me to be out for the cataract surgery, and I didn't take it. I didn't do it. And the doctor cleared me. And he said, I was able to take off these glasses and read, like they do the vision test, the very lowest line I can read the letters without glasses for the first time in almost 15 years. Almost 15 years. And so he said, we're going to cancel the cataract test indefinitely. And he said, we'll reconvene in March and do the test again, see if you need anything to be done with the Sjogren's. But he said, you're crying. He said, that's amazing. He said, that's a miracle. Because we know you can't cry with Sjogren's. And so, again, confirmation after confirmation this week, last week from doctors, from tests that I've been taking, treatments that I don't have to take anymore. Some maintenance meds, yes. And I'm going to keep doing that until I am solid with everything being cleared, all of the tests. But even with that, I haven't been on some of those for months. So it is, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Van, if you're still on the call. Yes. And even with love, God has brought love to my heart that with a very good man who is lined up with his purpose as well and is walking out what God has called him to do. And we make it together as well. So
that's wonderful, Laverne, and great.
Hey guys, I appreciate you all giving me time to share the testimony. Yeah. And
that's great. You're more than welcome. Come on again.
One more thing,
and then we got to move on.
You were saying, because I came in after two, but some of the stuff that you were saying today, I guess when you guys did your prayer. And I probably missed all that, but from what some of the other members were sharing, and she was saying how she knew God was speaking because he was talking to other people with the same message. The power of understanding the big picture. These are notes I've been taking as of yesterday, and talking about intent and intention and how God knows the beginning, he knows the end from the beginning, because and in this teaching, Dr. Miles Monroe, which you guys probably are familiar with, who is deceased, but in this particular teaching, I was listening to one of his old messages from like 4 years plus ago, and he was saying how God is seeing what you saw in your head. He sees the idea. The idea is finished already in his head before he even creates us. So even like in Jeremiah chapter 29:11, where he said, I knew you before you were formed, because I knew you before the foundation of the earth was formed, or the world was formed, basically. And I'm summarizing it. And then it goes back to Genesis 1-3, and then Genesis 2:7, where God created the world. And then he created man, and he made man from dirt, but he took the woman who was the incubator, the womb, out of man's rib. And so we all came from Adam. We all came from Adam. And I knew this already, but it was so revelational, because he also said that God in his glory put everything in Adam for every man to come. At the beginning, before all of our purposes were already instilled in Adam, just like they're instilled in us. We don't have to go search our purpose. We have to become our purpose. We have to become what he has already created us to be. And I just wanted to share that part with you all, because again, the all in one, being all alone, all of that, the marriage covenant, all of that, God placed it all in Adam, and Adam absconded. He gave that up because he was right there with Eve, but he gave it up, and he wanted to be independent, just like America wanted to be independent from England. That's a whole nother story. We ain't gonna go there, but we don't have a king, but we have King Jesus, and now we have all this democracy, Republican stuff, and I stick with King Jesus. I just leave it like
Amen.
That.
Amen.
They do what they got
to
do.
I've got to stop you there, Laverne. We've got lots of
other
people to say that. But
thank
bless
you.
Your heart. A great
God
testimony.
Bless you too.
Really thankful to God for your life and your heart. And, you know, you can come on again and share. And we love hearing what God has
done. I will.
Heart,
I will definitely keep you all updated.
And what he continues to do. God bless your beautiful heart. And with that, I'd like to ask Frank from France, because I know you've got to get up early for work in the morning. And, you mentioned. So, Frank, would you like to share? Shula Papon, are you there?
There, yes.
That was the password, wasn't it? Shula Papon, Shula Papa. speak a bit more closer to your mic, mate.
Yes, I will try, okay?
There you go.
Okay, okay. God bless you, everyone. Thank you very much to let me share. Today was a day where God opened a door for me to speak about healing, about different things to a young man, you know, 22 years old. He has a cancer of the bones, and I ministered healing to him. He accepted it. He believed it, and you know, I just let him, and I know that God is faithful to what we. To see this family able to, you know, they were believer, and that was good to know that. And yes, I bring this guy, and this was an open door from God. You know, we. Just I just continue to speak in tongues, to look unto God, speak in tongues on our God, praying for laborers, because God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, and we are those who want and desire this for the glory of God. And that's all I wanted to share tonight, and I'm thankful for these open doors that God is giving for my life. And thank you very much, and God bless you, Lawrence.
God bless you, sir. That was wonderful, and I'm blessed that God's opening doors for you, and you're sowing the good seed there, brother. And God's gonna give you the great harvest of your desire and labor and words that you've spoken, and he's faithful. And I love you very much, Frank, and I wish you a good night's sleep when you actually eventually go off, and that you have a really fresh and blessed day tomorrow as well. And thank you for sharing, and our love to Annie as well, my friend.
Okay, I will.
And so next I'm going to ask Mary Wade, and after Mary Wade will be Jason. So Mary Wade, take it away. Come on down.
Here I am.
Come on down. Here she is.
What am I to bid on? No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Do you know the price is right? That's a
good
thing. You know, come on.
Yeah, come on down.
I'm not inspired to share about the price is right. That, you know. With God, the price is always right. Anyway. Yeah, I've been so blessed by the fellowship. It's been absolutely wonderful, and I looked forward to it all day. And I had quite a busy day at work. There was a lot going on, and God just kept me peaceful and blessed through all of it. And I'm so thankful to him that, you know, no matter what circumstances we face, no matter what is thrown our way or what we're, you know, what we find ourselves involved in, we can always depend on God and trust in God and rest in God. And we have the peace of God. We're justified by God. And because we're justified, it says that we have peace. We're not at enmity with God. We're at peace with God. And, you know, the more that we align ourselves with what God has given us and what God has entrusted us with, the greater understanding we'll have of what it's like to really live and walk with God. And I've just been very, very blessed to realize that God makes the way easy and he makes the way plain. And you know, God does not want us to feel pressure ever. And that's not His will that we have pressure in our lives. Now there are things that will cause us to feel pressure. You know, that's kind of what tribulation is, you know, is just a pressure. But God makes the way to deliver us from any pressure that we face, be it a physical issue. Laverne, your sharing was wonderful. You know, all of the healing that God has done for you is absolutely amazing and fantastic. And God can do that for anyone who has the humility to say yes and to do the things that God would have you to do to receive from Him. So, you know, He makes the way plain for us to receive any physical healing, any mental healing, any emotional healing, any financial healing, any healing, no matter what healing or deliverance that you need. God is ready, willing, and able to, you know, to make sure that comes to pass in your life. And we just have to align ourselves with the will of God. It's always the will of God to bless us and to give us the things that we need. And, you know, there are really no gray areas with God. That's one thing I've really thought of lately, is that, you know, there are no gray areas. You know, it's either you're walking by the flesh or you're walking by the Spirit. You know, you're walking in love or you're not walking in love. Or, it's just so simple. And the way to walk by the Spirit and to walk by faith and not by sight, there's another non-gray area. You're either walking by faith or you're walking by sight. You know, it's either the flesh or the carnal way of thinking. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And, you know, those thoughts that we think lead to our actions. Just like if we're thinking the godly thoughts, we'll have the godly fruit. In our lives, God will see to it that we bear fruit based on the godly thoughts that we have, because those godly thoughts lead to godly actions, and godly actions and godly works produce fruit. And that's it. Simple, it's, you know, simple and plain. And so, you know, the desire of my heart is to walk by faith and not by sight. That the words I speak, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in God's sight, because He's my strength and my Redeemer, and He's your strength and Redeemer. And we want our words, the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart, to be acceptable in God's sight. And, you know, it's not just Scripture. You know, we have the Scripture, and the Scripture is profitable. We all know that. But it's those heavenly words that, as we're putting on the new man, we're putting on the mind of Christ, and we're speaking in tongues, we're building up that Spirit. We're speaking the wonderful works of God when we speak in tongues. We're speaking by the Spirit when we speak in tongues. We stir up the gift of God within us when we speak in tongues, right? Okay. God can work. He can teach. His Spirit teaches our spirit, and then our spirit teaches our mind, and we speak it forth. Those heavenly words are just as impactful as any Scripture that we may speak. And we have to align ourselves with God in order to be able to do that, to be able to speak the heavenly words. And, you know, I'm just very, very blessed that we have this type of lifestyle that we can live. And, Ezra has been so big on my heart. We have so many wonderful, like Danny was sharing, speaking, you know, those were really godly words that Danny was speaking about all the men and women in the Old Testament that have, given us great examples of how to walk with God and steward the things of God and be faithful and loyal. And put God first and trust God. And one of the people that has really inspired me is Ezra. And the verse of Scripture that describes Ezra just really thrills my heart, that he had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. And, you know, I don't live in the Old Testament. We're not under the law, okay? And we're not teaching the statutes of the law to people. So I kind of adapted that verse of scripture to, you know, to this wonderful age of grace that we live in now, because we're not under the law and we're not, you know, we're not to subject ourselves to the law, but we live in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And we live by the Spirit of grace of God's divine favor. And we're not subject to ordinances and all of these things, right? We have a freedom and a liberty in Christ. And so I adapted that Ezra scripture to really, I prepare my heart each day to seek the knowledge of the Lord and His wisdom, and then to do what He puts in my heart to do, and then to teach it, to give it to others, to help reconcile them to a lifestyle where they can do the same thing, where they can go to God and they can receive the heavenly words from God directly from Him to them, because there's no longer any veil between us, between God and us. Everything has been moved out of the way so that we have a direct connection with God, and we can teach other people to have that same, that they have the same direct access to God, to hear from God, to be inspired by God, to get answers and knowledge and wisdom from God. This is the lifestyle we lead, and this is how we teach people to walk with God, because they can have the same thing, you know, that we have. They can have the same blessings and peace and joy and hope and expectation in God. And yes, God gives us works to do. And every day is a new day with God. It's our greatest day to walk with God. And, you know, that's the life that we live. And I just wanted to share this testimony with you that I experienced this week. You know, I've been faithful to do my faith and confessions, like Amber gets up early. I'm the same way. And one time this week, I had great difficulty staying asleep, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I knew in my heart that I had not done anything wrong, and I had not, you know, my mind had been fixed and my heart had been fixed on God. I hadn't gotten distracted or anything. But still, this particular night, I just woke up and I just had a troubled heart about things. And I, you know, it was just, there were a lot of things that were coming my way, that kept me awake. I wasn't anxious or anything. It's just, I knew that I was not completely settled. And what I did was I just immediately went to God about it. And I said, God, I know that this unsettledness is not from You. And I know that I haven't done anything to cause this unsettled feeling. And so I just went to God, and God told me to just rebuke it. Just rebuke it. And so I rebuked everything. I knew it wasn't of God. I said, this is not of God. I rebuke this from my life, and I just claim the peace of God in my heart and my life. And I was able to go back to sleep, and I woke up, my alarm woke me up because I had not been able to sleep that night. Usually I'll wake up before my alarm goes off, but this particular morning, the alarm woke me up. And I realized, as soon as I woke up, I realized that I was in a lot of pain. I just felt like my body was inflamed. And I figured it was probably from just the stress of the night, because it was very unusual for that to happen to me. And so I just thought, well, okay, I'm gonna go back to sleep, and I'm not gonna do my faith and confessions until I have a little bit more sleep. And of course, I had to go to work in an hour from the time that I set my alarm every day. That's when I go to work, and I spend that hour in doing my faith, my confessions of my faith. And so I bypassed that, and I laid back down, and I laid back down for about a half hour. Never did go back to sleep, and then suddenly it came to me, and I knew this was from God. God just told me, get up. And so I immediately got up, and I went into the kitchen. I made myself some coffee. I fed the cats. And the whole time, I'm just speaking in tongues. And I'm not anxious about anything. And I am, you know, still feeling the pain and everything. But I just opened up my faith and confessions, because I have them written down. But I also confessed just being inspired, too. I was doing that in addition to speaking in tongues. And I just did my faith and confessions. I think I did about maybe 25 minutes worth of faith and confessions. And then I went to work. And when I logged on to work, I realized, you know, I didn't have any pain. And I knew that I had been healed of that pain and inflammation. And also, I worked the entire day and I didn't feel tired. I mean, in the flesh, because of what had happened to me, or carnally, looking at it carnally, I should have been exhausted, you know, because I didn't have enough sleep. And, you know, but God just healed me and delivered me. And it was because I obeyed what God said to do. To me, it was like a work of faith. You know, God telling me, get up. Just like Amber shared last week, that I think it was the little boy, maybe, that he was having some trouble, and you just told him, you know, to get up. And that was what God told me, to get up. You know, God will give you something to do. It's like a demonstration of your faith, of your believing action, because faith without works is dead. Well, that's what God wanted me to do. And I obeyed him. And as a result, there was healing that followed, and great deliverance that day. And so I was just real blessed with that. And to someone else, it might not be a big thing, but to me, it was just a demonstration that God worked in my life and heart to give me a great day, my greatest day. And so that's what I really wanted to share. And so God bless everybody. I just encourage you to do the things of God, to speak in tongues much, to confess the right things, to think the right thoughts, to go forward with God, to connect, to honor God, to do the things, you know, to pray for laborers, to beseech the Lord of the harvest for laborers in the harvest ready field, to walk with you because you're a laborer, and you know, to just do the things of God and expect God to bless you, and stay put on the things of God, and don't strain and don't complain and don't be drained. So God bless everybody. I love you. You're the best. So Jason, it's yours. It's your call now. It's you're on stage.
Wow. God bless you, Mary. Yeah, wonderful sharing, wonderful words of encouragement as well. And, it's a great testimony. A testimony is a testimony. And nobody can belittle God, because when he does something, he does something. And there's no such thing as it's a great testimony or it's not a great testimony. It's a testimony. And everything God does is great anyway. So, yeah, thanks for sharing that, Mary. That was wonderful. So God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. I thank God for my ministers, Lawrence and Kim, and for my brethren who are around the world, actually. As we are all on a journey, learning to stand, learning to walk with God, and learning to change our minds and our thinking patterns, even on a day-to-day basis, sometimes moment-to-moment basis, our words and our confessions. And yeah, sometimes we need a bit of a nudge from somebody else because we're not perfect. We can't get it all right perfectly all the time. Unfortunately, because we are still in the flesh. And until we're gathered up, it's the way it's going to be. So in the meantime, what do we do? Do we look at what the world's doing or do we look at what God's doing? Well, as children of God, I remember when I grew up, I didn't really know anything about God as such. I knew I'd gone to Sunday school, but didn't really grasp a lot. And I'd seen the films about Jesus Christ, but I wasn't really taught anything. Yeah, I knew which family I grew up in. I knew who my parents were. I knew who my sisters were. I knew the house I lived in, the garden that was with that house. When I went out, I knew the way back. And as a child of my parents, I knew who they were. It's funny, Carl Morton was sharing something along these lines earlier. So it's one thing growing up knowing who my parents are, but then when I become a child of God, then it's getting to know God as my father, Jesus Christ as my great brother, my king, my Lord, my savior, without whom I wouldn't have everlasting life. I wouldn't be able to call myself a child of God without Jesus Christ. And the great thing is, he was humble. He was meek and humble, clothed with humility. Didn't boast of himself. He always boasted of God in everything he did. And he even looks up and said, you know, that about John the Baptist, he said, there's none greater in the kingdom than John. He said, yet there is one. But he didn't say, I'm the one. He just said, there is one. And in reference to himself, and then speaking to his apostles, who do men say that I am? Some say you're this, some say you're that. And he said, who do you say I am? And Peter said, you're the Son of the living God, the Messiah. He said, well spoken, Peter. He said, because flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, reveals it to you. So even in that moment, he didn't boast of himself. But he boasted of God, and God was at work. God was the one showing Peter. And it was coming to my mind earlier, but we cannot change people's lives. Only God can do that through Jesus Christ, through what Jesus Christ accomplished. Yes, we can ask God for the open doors. Yes, we can believe that God will open those doors and bring the people before us and give us the words to speak. Because if it's not God's words we're speaking, there's going to be no change of life. Well, there might be something, but it's not going to be the full measure. But when it's of God, it's an impact. And it will impact somebody's heart. Whether they respond to that on the spot, or whether they don't, something goes in. And a seed is sown or a seed is watered. We don't always know which part we're playing in that. And we're not responsible for the increase, God is. And the increase happens within a person. Like it happened within us. Each one of us, before we ever came to a fellowship, before we ever took action on that. And now here we are today talking like we're talking. You know, once upon a time, I wouldn't have had a clue about anything. So isn't it amazing? And it's great because we all identify with each other in Christ. And how do we identify with each other? It's the testimonies. It's the sharings from the heart. It's the encouragement and not the discouragement. And the iron that sharpens iron. And we've heard so much, so many things tonight. And like the honoring God with our substance and the first fruits of all our increase, our income, our money. Why? Because we have to? No. But because we're thankful to God for what he's done for us. And we're thankful for the ministers. But we also know that God wants us to expect him to bless us back in return for our giving. And without God first giving, we wouldn't know how to give. Nobody would, because it's a universal law, giving equals receiving. So we understand that too. So we understand we're sowing seeds so we can receive back in those seeds sown. And speaking in tongues, we've heard so much about tonight as well. And learn to speak by the Spirit of God. Well, we also know healing is available, deliverance is available, and we go after that. We go after that with God. And we know God doesn't let us down. He doesn't push us away. He doesn't push anyone away. When people come to him, he receives them. Religion does the opposite and pushes people away and doesn't teach people the truth. Yet with the true God, he teaches us the truth. He teaches us his ways in Christ Jesus. So wherever we are, we always know when to say Daddy, when to say Father. Jesus Christ said Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. For me, it's great hearing everybody else's testimonies and sharings. And we all need that nudge of encouragement at times. I think even Jesus Christ was tempted on all points like we are. But he didn't sin. He didn't break that fellowship. He didn't break that connection with God. He just continued and stayed focused on what he was sent to do. And through that, countless people now have that everlasting life. And we have the ability to heal the sick. We have the ability to cast out spirits. We have the rights and the authority in this world to speak truth and love to people. Speak by the Spirit of God to people. The words that he gives us to speak. And we never know who will believe and who won't, only God does. So we just share. We're not afraid of their faces. We're not afraid of what's going on in the culture. And like Kim shared tonight, we pray for our governments. Either that God can work in them for us to still freely move and live and move and have our being in them. And for his word to move, his goodness to spread everywhere, or ask him to change something there somewhere along the line. So we get the ones that are going to make the right decisions for us. And we don't worry about what the world is up to, because our focus is, it's like when I was a child, I wasn't going next door when I'd go home from school. I was going home to where my house was, my parents' house, not the next door neighbor's parents' house. And as children of God, we know where we're coming back to. We know where our first port of call is when we open our eyes in the morning, and when we close our eyes at night, our last port of call. In the meantime, we know that wherever we go, God is with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? So, for me, nothing specific as such in testimonies at the moment. God is always at work, getting open doors all the time in one place or another. and the laborers are there, and the leaders are there, the fellowships, the fields, they're there. God is a control tower, like Lawrence shares. And I'm the airport, so he's landing his aircraft in my airport. So that's what I have for now, and well, that's what's in my heart right now. So thank you, Lawrence, for asking me to share, and thank you, everyone, for listening. I love you all very much. God bless you.
Thank you. And I would like to ask Sakina Wiley, are you ready to share with us, sister? Sakina!
God bless everyone. Yes, I'm ready to share.
Go for it, sweetheart. Go for it.
God bless. God bless. It's been a long day for me. I'm in Greenville, South Carolina with the grands and my daughter and my son-in-law, enjoying time with them. It was my daughter's birthday this week, so I came to spend time with her. That's been a blessing. Got a lot of things that I am believing God for, and as was shared tonight, you know, very detail-oriented request. And with the requests come a great expectation. That's what, for me, has been highlighted on my heart now to share, is just having that expectation from God, that faith, that knowing that you know that God is faithful and he's working the situation and he's already done it, you know, but what something's happening in the spiritual where in our waiting, we know God is continually working. So I think this was shared at one point in fellowship about the expectation and like an analogy for the expectation where when you're a little kid and you know Christmas is coming and you know without a shadow of a doubt that there are going to be presents under that tree and boxes with your name on it. And you know, it's just, you just know it. But in the waiting, you have that expectation for Christmas to come, right? And that's kind of like how I feel and how I imagine the things that I've brought to the Father, just knowing that because he's faithful, because he loves me, because he's a God that doesn't lie, because his promises are yes and amen, because he says to prove him, because of all these things, that expectation is high. It's like vibrating within me. And it's because our assuredness and our confidence is in our Father, God, and that he is who he says he is, right? That he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So we seek him with all our hearts, our minds. We seek him with everything that is in us because we know without him, we're nothing. We know where we were before we confess Romans 10:9-10, that state, that fallen state and that darkness. And now that we're his children, we've been called out of the darkness. He called us. He called. We heard the cry. We received. We became born again. And then we changed. We became new creatures in Christ, his children. We're no longer servants, right? We're seated at his right hand. As Christ is, so are we. I love the parts about meekness and humility and the coming to the end of self, right? When the prodigal son was in that pig pen and he was smelling what he was smelling and he just had a moment. He came to himself and he said, what am I doing here? Wait a minute, right? You come to the end of yourself. You no longer want what you think you want or need. You want what God wants for you. Everything that the desires that we have, right? We know God wants to he's met those desires. He wants to meet them. But outside of him, what are they, right? Everything we do through Christ, and we're inspired by God. We want to bless. We want to be blessed to be a blessing. That's my desire, to be blessed, to be a blessing, not only to my family, but to the family of God and to whomever God directs. praying for that laborer, you know, just being patient and content, knowing that it's God who's ordained, it's God who brings the laborer, it's God who equalizes the laborer, the Lord of the harvest, it's God who does it. So we wait. I just wait. Ready, eager to speak for God, the abundant sharing, continuing to just be faithful in that. Why? Because it's God who blessed us first. He's given us this life to live. He's given us the blessings. He's a God, you know, he's a giver. Of all good and perfect gifts come from above, from him. So we thank him for that first. And then as we honor him, we activate that law of giving and receiving, the multiplication, where we know that God is the source of our provision. That we're no longer operating in the fallen state of the world from Adam and Eve's sin, right? The first Adam. We now operate from the position of the second Adam, Christ, who's come and who's reconciled us and who's seated us at the right hand of God, where now we have expectation. Now we know who we are in Christ. And in knowing who we are in Christ, we know that we're not to operate from a position of lack. We know that that's not God's will. That is not his design for us. It wasn't in the original plan, and it's not in this plan. So we honor him with our increase in the first fruit of our substance in the first fruit of our increase, so that we can partake in that law of giving and receiving. We're already blessed, but the honoring of him is that act of worshiping him and continuing to just be connected to that kingdom, the kingdom riches versus the riches of the world that we don't want. We don't want that. You know, it's not about money. It's about that heavenly flow where we have abundance. Grace abounds towards us in all areas of life, but specifically with the finances, we need that. We need that to operate in the kingdom and to do the things we need to do on this earth for God. That's just basic. We need finances to operate and do the things that we need to do for God. Why? Because we're able to bless people, because we're financing the ministers so that they can work for God and not have to focus on the things of the world. All these things are necessary, and we're instructed to do this. This is what God instructs us to do in the Word. So these are the reasons why we abundantly share. And we do it with the right heart, of course. And then we do it with expectation, the speaking in tongues, the speaking by the Spirit. All of these things we do because we are spiritual beings. And as spiritual beings, these are the things we're encouraged to do to remind us, to keep us in the flow, to keep us in that position. We don't lose the position, but to stay spiritually sharp, remembering that that's who we are, because the world is set up, everything and anything in this world outside of God is set up for us to never know or to forget who we really are. So that's why we do the things we do, the things we're encouraged to do, is so that we stay spiritually minded. We keep our minds on things that are above, right? We stay heaven, we stay focused on the heavenly realities of who we are in Christ, what we can do, what we've been authorized to do. God's given us authority to heal the sick, to cast out demons, right? To live abundantly, to manifest God's glory on earth through us. We're the vessels. And sometimes it might be quiet. For me, it was quiet, so I came to Greenville so I could have some things to do, right? Have that balance between the spiritual and the world that we live in. We balance it all out. But ultimately, we stay focused. We keep our minds on the heavenly realities. We stay connected with our minister. We continue to speak in tongues. We operate in who we really are, the spiritual truths, the spiritual exercises, the practicing of the spiritual matters. We continue to do these things as we wait on the Lord, should he tarry. But in the meantime, we continue to operate the plan, which is what? The commission to for those that are living in darkness to be called into God's family, his light, into his kingdom. So as we are citizens of heaven, we go as God directs and as he brings the laborers to help those to deliver them from that fallen state. That's what it's ultimately all about. Nothing is more important than that. And sometimes, like I had the thought this week, it can get pretty frustrating when you're with people who it may appear, again, because God corrected me and convicted me, it may appear as if people who are close to you are not interested in those things. But the reality is, if you start thinking like that, you're not making it about God or those people. You're making it about you because you want it on your time for your benefit. So God really humbled me and showed me to just be still and know that he is God and that these are his children and he has plans for them. And I don't make it about me. It's about God. And it's about God and his plans for mankind and those that are lost. We just make ourselves available to him to manifest that plan through us for others. We don't make it about us. I love the part about meekness, humility, and coming to the end of oneself. Because truly, when we come to the end of ourselves, then it's really always only all about God. You know, we just, who wants to compete with God? Like, seriously, like, I just feel like sometimes it's just silly, you know, when we do that. Like, wait a minute, this is God's plan. This is about him. This is about him manifesting himself, right, through us. And we get glory from that. We'll be blessed for sure. But we just have to keep those things in check, the priority, and really just humble ourselves, right? Don't puff ourselves up. It's not about us. But anyway, that's all I have to share. It's been a great night of fellowship, and I'm blessed to have listened to everyone. So good night.
Good night, Sakina. God bless you, darling. That was a great, great sharing, and it is very simple what we do, and you know, God's working in you, absolutely wonderful, and giving you those great words to speak forth. And it's great when God starts to show us how simple this is, and that it's about him, not about us. That definitely is for sure. And we're all getting there. Everyone's doing so great. It's really wonderful, this fellowship this evening. And I know there's more to come yet. So I know Shelley said she was available to share. So would you like to share, Shelley?
Sure. Hi. How are you guys?
God bless you, darling.
Yeah, all is well. Let me see here. Hang on a minute. So, yeah, it's been a great week. It's been an interesting week, to be honest with you. It was really, really cool. We were able to see the Northern Lights, the Bore, or whatever you call it, the Borealis, really, really, really well. It was so cool, you guys, because I've never seen it, and that was one of my things on my bucket list, is to see the Northern Lights. And then I did a little bit of investigation on what the Northern Lights really are. And, you know, it's an eruption from the sun, and it's throwing off all these solar flares and stuff. And it really humbled me to think about how much God just loves us and takes such great care of this little blue ball, this planet floating around the sun. You know, I mean, that those things could just take us off, you know, could take us out. And we see God in the finer details, but when we see him in the bigger details, it just leaves us awestruck. And at least it did me. I was just absolutely awestruck at standing out there watching and seeing these, and then also being able to look at all the other planets and how God has done all of this. He holds this planet in a safe orbit. He puts night lights out there so we don't have to be scared of the dark, because There's nothing to be scared of the dark in. And then he turns around, and that sun that could be so catastrophic to us warms our earth, warms us, grows our vegetables, gives us great light. Wow, what an amazing God. And to him, it's all so simple. So when we think about it that way, isn't everything else simple? Isn't everything else basic when we just go right to God? And God's got it all. He already knows. He already knows how to take care of us, because he, what did he do? Take care of the fowls of the air and the lilies of the valley? How much more? How much more does he care for us? Because we are his kids, and we can take absolutely every concern to him, and he's just like, okay, I got it. I already have a plan for it. All you have to do is just to sit down, listen, and pay close attention, because I am here. And that's where, you know, this morning time, this quiet time with him, when you have the opportunity to sit down and really speak in tongues and get focused, when you have that focus time with God, then you really see, in my mind's eye, you know, how he's laid it all out for us. It's all laid out. And once in a while, we can go back and look at the past. And it was a big idea this week, but it didn't define me. My past does not define me. It refines me like a fine diamond, you know. I'm not a polished turd anymore. I'm a fine diamond. I'm very, very refined. And by being able to be this refined diamond means I get to walk out and truly shine in God's great, great, great mercy and understanding for not only what he has for me, but what I have for other people. I get the wonderful opportunity to go have a football party with some of the students I worked with a couple of years ago, and I'm so excited to see them and be the witness again, be the witness to their parents of, you know what, there's so many opportunities for your children. I've been through it, and I want to help you, but the big thing is you can't be fearful. When you're fearful, it stops everything in its tracks. It stops God in his tracks, everything. And so when people ask me, you know, how did you do this for Sarah? I'm like, absolutely, I did not do it. God led me through it. But he put great, great, wonderful people in our paths, because I couldn't have done it without him, but I couldn't have done it without these other people either. And that's when we become these real signs, miracles, and wonders, and also witnesses to people, because you too can have what we have, and it's very easy. God is very easy to be entreated, yet, you know, the world complicates him, and so much. It's like, no. God is not complicated. The government might be complicated, but I'm not. God is not complicated. You know, everything will work its way out. You just got to relax and trust that God is going to do it for you. And it's just such a beautiful, wonderful place for me to be in my life right now, really coming around that corner and knowing that my job now is for God. I work for God. I don't work outside the home. And with talking to Lawrence on my one-on-one this week, Social Security called me, and they're like, they're really questioning me. You don't make any money? I said, no. I said, no. And I was going to say, because I work for God, but I know they wouldn't get that. They're like, okay. And there's a moment of silence. I said, I've got a great big wonderful. Then I said that. I said, I depend on God and my husband. I said, but, you know, it's not really any more than just depending on God. I don't make any money, and it really doesn't matter. So she was really, really super kind, and I had such a great little conversation with her. And by the end of it, you know, we were able to say, God bless you, and have a great afternoon. And she's like, I don't normally talk to people like this. They always get defensive. I'm like, well, I'm not normal. That's a good thing. That's a real good thing, because I'm not normal. I'm God's kid, and God's kid totally, totally takes care of me. But when he takes care of me, he takes care of my family also. And so it's just such an honor and a blessing to be able to walk hand in hand with him in this great freedom, knowing that we have all this spiritual authorization to command and demand through our authority to get things done, man. We don't have to sit around. Send them out there. The spiritual world, angels are out there to do it. We have that authority through Christ, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Send them out there. They need a job. So that's just kind of some of the places I've been. It's just really taking hold of this and looking at this spiritual authority that we've been blessed with. And I'm very, very grateful to be able to have such an amazing life and spend it with people who really love God and walk out in love. And everything is just amazing. Very, very good. So God bless you guys, and you have a great evening. I'm looking really forward to hearing about your great trip to Nepal. I remember this time last year when we were getting ready to go. It was very vivid. It's hard to believe it's been a year ago. But what a blessing. Wow, just blew me away. I'm just so excited to hear everything, you know, all the blessings and the new adventures for you and everybody going. So I love you guys very, very much, and you have an amazing evening. Thank you.
God bless you, Shelley. That was beautiful, sweetheart. And yes, it was, my gosh, it was a year ago that we all went again, wasn't it? And we had such a great time, and God's working other things as well for us all and keeping those doors open. And it's great what God's doing at home for you as well, and Ted and the family, and what he's working amongst other people there with you. So bless your beautiful heart. Thank you ever so much for sharing. With that, I'd like to ask Judy Collins to share next, please. Judy, would you like to share, dear?
Hello.
Hello, darling. How are you? Hi. God bless you. God.
Hello. So I don't know what I'm going to say here, but I'm going to just do what everybody else says to do, and that is just to jump out there and see what I have to say and practice. So practicing right now, practicing, testing, 1, 2, 3, testing. it was a challenging week, great week. I got vertigo, and last year, about the 24th of March, I had to call the ambulance because I never had vertigo before, and it really got a hold on me where I couldn't even move, and I was on the floor, and it's so kind of strange, you know? It's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And anyway, this time it came on, and I was just like staying calm and just letting the peace of God rule my heart and trusting God and like, all right, God, you know. And I was told if it did happen, you know, to try to focus on one thing in the room so your head will stop spinning. So I did that, and
I hear you, Judy.
You can't hear me? I'm right here. Are you testing 1, 2, 3?
Yes, we can. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Got away from the mic, I guess. I knew about these exercises to do, and I had done them last time, but I didn't want to do them alone because you just don't know if you're going to fall over. It's not fun. Anyways, I called Philip, my son. Asked him if he could come over so I could do these vertigo exercises. And he came over, and we went through them. And afterwards, I felt much better. It was great. And he just kept on reminding me to breathe, and I did. And so I was thinking back on what might have triggered this, and I don't know for sure because I was going through a conversation, a pretty deep conversation with someone, and rehashing something over again. And I don't know if it just I didn't take authority over it, the situation, and be bold. But here I am. I'm speaking right now in authority and confidently, and trusting God that He will. You know, I he's there with me. I'm learning not to be so timid and just speak in the name of Jesus Christ, get out, and be bold about it. So it was a great learning experience to go through these things and to know that, I have that authority to take charge. God has given me that authority. And if the devil tries to mess around with me, he's messing around with the wrong kid. I am Son of God with power. And he has no business over me or my family in the name of Jesus Christ. You know? And we are sons of God. We just walk in this power that he's given us. So the day went by, you know, and I had to do the exercises again later on. And I asked, Philip left for the day, and I asked you, would you please come back later tonight? And so, and do them with me again. And he said, sure. So he did. And it was great. And then the next morning, I thought, I went and I did them, and I did them by myself. So, and I was supposed to be going on a trip today with the other, some folks to go to a Christmas warehouse, big place in Delaney. And I didn't want to cancel, so I said, no, I'm going. And I'm just taking my neighbor with me. And she says, are you sure you want to go? You know, and I says, she says, are you sure you're feeling up to it? And I said, yep, we're going. And we went, and so we were on the bus, and when the Zoom call came in, and I put my earbuds on, and I was like, well, I was on the bus, and yeah, and I was like, well, I'm just going to listen on in and while we're riding on the bus. And so I did. And so here I am today, very thankful, thankful, thankful. And we're riding home in the car after we got off the bus and got into our cars. And Peggy, I turned on plugged the phone into the car. And so I'm, you know, listening to the Zoom call in the car. And she says, oh, is that what you were listening to? And I said, yes. And so she had no choice but to listen in on it, too. And so when I left her off at her house, she goes, what is that speaking in tongues? And she says, can you, we'll talk about it tomorrow. But I says, yeah, I says, it's a language from God. And it's in 1 Corinthians 12. I'll show you tomorrow and we'll go through it, okay? And she said, okay. And so, yes, yeah, she's just like, was questioning and listening to everybody's testimony and a few of you that were on. So it was a witness, and maybe, you know, maybe that's my labor. It would be good. She's really great. I teach her the word all the time, and she's really thankful for how much I know. It's not like, you know, Zakina was saying, it's, you know, not me. It's not what I know and everything else. It's God. And so what do you want to give the glory to him and not ourselves? And so I was really blessed with everybody's teachings and their sharings and how we are. We have to claim who we are in Christ. We are special. Sometimes we don't walk by the Spirit, like Mary was saying. So, you know, it's like, hey, am I going to walk by the Spirit or am I going to walk by the flesh? And, you know, it's like either or. And so we want to walk by the Spirit more than by the flesh. And so speaking in tongues and interpreting word of knowledge, word of prophecy, word in other words, word of wisdom, discerning spirits, faith, miracles, healings, they all are as easy as speaking in tongues. We can do any one of them anytime. When it's called upon, we need to do it. And that was a neat thing, too, is I'm talking to Lawrence, and it's just like, you know, walking by the Spirit where, you know, it's just an automatic thing. It's not like anything different than, you know, speaking in tongues or casting out spirits. It's just it's that easy to do. And when we are listening to the Father and Father tells us, you know, that it is time to do this, then it's time. So, yeah, so I'm, like I said, I'm fantastic sharing. I think we all just have such so much to give in our hearts and our lives. And we, oh, Amber and Danny, wonderful. I love you guys so much, and I'm so very thankful for you. Lawrence has been helping me a lot through this week, and is listening to a lot of his sharings. And, you know, as we are doing what we do, you know, others will follow. So, you know, like Forrest Gump, you know, we just like, all right, he's running, so let's run. Everybody can join in and run in with Forrest Gump, and now suddenly he stops. Well, where, why'd he stop? I'm going home now. That was a really good movie. Life is a box of chocolates, and we never know which chocolate we're going to bite into. So, yes, I hope that was a good practice for me today, because I'm going to be bolder and stronger. I am stronger, and I am walking in with authority and confidently trusting the Lord. So look out, world. Here I am. God bless you all.
Amen to that. That was great. That was brilliant. Yeah. Old Forrest Gump there, just running and running. He just stopped there, didn't he? Quite funny, that. It was great stuff. There's some great lessons from it. But no, that was wonderful sharing. And I'm glad that you're feeling great now. And then God's given you opportunity also to share with others and encourage, which is absolutely fantastic, darling. And good that Philip's there and able to get you through some exercises and everything. So my love to you and your family. And we just keep continuing with God and just enjoying life and what we're doing. And that's the whole thing. God wants us to enjoy our walk. You know, it's not all struggle, strain and drain. And but, you know, joy and rejoicing and walking in the Holy Spirit of God, you know, where, you know, there's was it in thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there's pleasures forevermore. God wants us to enjoy fellowship with him and with one another. So, and we're doing that. You know, God is really bringing us all together and working in our situations. Just got to watch the distractions and we don't get, you know, sucker punched off. And we just, but God's still with us regardless of whether we do or not. But it's good just to keep that focus and do the things he places in our heart. Walking by the Spirit is just basically doing what you're inspired to do. And, like, you know, so you are walking by the Spirit and God is inspiring you. And it's not like we're cognizant of it all the time. We're just moving and we're saying something and realize it was fantastic for the person that was hearing it. And then we realize it was God giving us that by the Spirit of God. So it's not something that we have to think, am I walking by the Spirit? Or, you know, you know when you're off anyway. That's the truth of the matter. And you, and then when you are walking, you're not even thinking about it, you know. So it's really cool. It's when we sit down and contemplate what we've been doing. And but God certainly is working with us all the time. He's not stopped. He doesn't stop working within us, and that's the great thing. So, yeah, bless your heart, Judy. And next I will ask, there's a twin. I have a twin sister somewhere on there. The twin Ethel. Are you there, Mrs. Ethel Robinson? Miss Ethel Robinson?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, loud and clear. Thank you, sweetheart. Yeah, what a week. What a day. Moment by moment. God is good, man. You want results? Go to God. I know we have our one-on-ones, Lauren, and that's very powerful, right? But ultimately, you would say to me, and I'm sure to everyone else, go to God. Yeah, what power and authority that we have. Let's exercise it. Like Becky says, you know, practice makes perfect. You just continue to do that each and every day. And I tell you, life is so good. Ooh, I'm blessed more than abundantly. And so this weekend, on Sunday, we will have what's called a Thanksgiving Fellowship, right? And It's physical, so it's going to be at Patty Finch's house. She has a humongous house. Tell you, God bless her. She lives alone there with her doggy, but you know what? One day I'd ask her, hey, do you mind if you, well, let's fellowship at your house? Little did I know that she has this humongous house. So one day we had lunch, and she goes, come to my house. As we approach her house, man, three garages, and then you walk in, it's like this massive 2,000 square foot house. And she goes, where do you want to have the fellowship? Living room? I have two of them. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know, but it was like a revelation, right? So we have it once a month there, a physical fellowship. But I'm really excited because, A, you know, I've invited people from work and also members of Costco. They've been my friends, you know. And this is also a chance for you, you know, as a physical fellowship, what we do in a fellowship and what great occasion. And, you know, it's the world will celebrate Thanksgiving once a year. And I will say it's Thanksgiving, right? It should be every day that we are grateful for anything that we have. It comes from God, you know. And, so I'll have an opportunity. Hopefully these people will come from work, my coworkers and friends that I have met. And so far, so good. And like last year, we did it too at Patty's house. And I made this, it's not really a big turkey. It was about 15 pounds. I wrapped it with bacon, you guys. Oh, man. It's so, if you can imagine this, right? And in the crevices, I put butter. So the drippings are like, and the turkey becomes really moist and juicy. Oh, it's great. But, I'm excited. It's going to be a potluck type thing. But again, it's that fellowship, you know, the physical fellowship when we can see each other face to face, eye to eye. You know, we can give each other hugs and kisses. And you guys, my co-host is Richard. He bought all the turkey, the bacon, and all the trimmings, whatever you like. He goes, what else do you need, sweetie? Oh, okay. So I have now a list, but it's great because, like, I'm thinking, you know, wow, we're going to be this dynamic duo couple type thing, right? We'll do everything together. And the biggest thing that really warms my heart about Richard is he says, what's your interest is my interest, Ethel. Boom. I'm like, oh, okay, God. Wow, that's really great. I'm so thankful and grateful. You know, this is no expectation. God got me both hit a jackpot and we're... I don't know, you guys, so compatible in every which way. He's the mini-me, the man version. And I think I'm the only one that really laughs on his, like, say when he tells jokes, because he laughs at my jokes, and I think it wasn't even too funny, but God put us together, you know, I guess to really bless each other in that way. And he is. He's also my laborer at the same time. You know, and Lawrence, he's been listening to your website. I don't tell him, but he goes from his heart, and which is great. You know, he's got a lot of, let's say, learning to do. He is at a fork or a transformation right now, you know, and I'm praying to God that he will really see the truth. I mean, I'm not boasting about me, but I am an example, a witness about God, and whatever I tell him, Rhema words comes out that God's telling me to tell him. And now he's got a little bit more understanding, you know. But anyway, with the physical fellowship on Sunday, there will be open doors. And I have high expectations because I've invited people that Christians and non-Christians, right? And you know what? It is an open door. Like it could be life-changing for these people that they hear something like this, you know. Keep it simple. Just teach about or share about God is love and be thankful. Well, I'm going to ask people, what are they thankful about in their lives, you know? I mean, you can just start with one, and there's so many, you guys, right? And you know what? Say it. Confess it, right? Attitude, gratitude. have that heart to tell people, you know, what are you thankful about? And you know what? I'm going to tell you, that's coming from God. You know, because everything that we own, it comes from God. That's why when you guys mention about abundant sharing or honoring your first fruits, damn, I pray that God keeps increasing my finances so I can cheerfully give more. And when the debts happen, I am like over the moon with that. Like, thank you, Father, you know. There's a purpose for you to increase my finances because you know where my heart is on that. I'm going to give more and more and more, you know. And with a cheerful heart, oh, my God, I can't wait to PayPal Laura, right? And it's a beautiful thing. I just love it, you guys. My walk with the Father is so precious. I'm sure each and every one of you too, you know, like as you really tighten it with your Heavenly Father, you know, like Van was talking about, the heart and the mind. Once your heart starts with the heart, really, once your heart goes to your head, you know, your mind, lock it in and lock it with God, you know, and it's the most powerful walk. It's the most excellent way to walk with God. I mean, I'm still learning. I still want to learn more. And so, you know, God's just blowing me away each and every day. Because I wake up, I'm like, okay, Father, what have you want me to do? And it's more like, what is he showing me what to do, right? And what is he pointing out for me to learn? Again, it's being like Danny mentioned, be humble. Have that humility, you guys, right? Be meek, ready to receive, and then be obedient. You know, follow that, follow that walk, that lead from God, engage in it, you know, and deliver. The deliverance is amazing. I see it more and more in my life now. Hey, you want results? You want fruit in your lives? I'm not saying, I'm not boasting about me, but really, look at me, how much of God has bear much fruit in my life. And I'm so humbled, you guys, you know. I mean, I didn't realize I was imprisoned in the old paradigm fellowship. And now I really see every day God gives you that benefits. And every day you should be able to take it, you receive it with all gladness because God is blessing your life and he wants you to be that witness in this dark world. This world is so dark. You know, and the more darker it gets, the more we shine. But I'm thankful because I know I have Christ in me. Like you guys have Christ in you. Utilize it, I tell you. Radiate that Christ in you. Don't let the adversary take that away from you because it's your identification. And we need to radiate that Christ in us, in each and every one of us, because this world really needs it so badly. And we shine more and more as we do radiate the Christ in us, you know, and Jesus Christ, before he left the earth, you know, he passed the baton, right? He told his disciples, his 12 laborers that were close to him, here I'm passing the baton. I'll be gone for a while, but I will be back. But when I'm gone, you will be the little Jesus Christ's or big Jesus Christ's. Go from town to town, however you're going to reach out to people. Like for me at Costco, it's my call center. I have my Zoom. Oh, my Zoom fellowships, right? Just go out there and be that witness to people. And then now, you know, the physical fellowship on Sunday, I'm just like, I'm stoked because God knows who are the ones that needs to be there. Okay. It's not so much the quantity, but the quality of people that their heart, they want to be there, you know, and besides that, we can break bread together. And honestly, this used to be my old fellowship, right? I had physical fellowships when I lived in Eugene. And people came and you know what, you guys, I'll be honest with you. I did everything, okay? From cooking, cleaning my house, and I had to teach. So I've set aside two people one day and I said, look, you guys, you can rise and expand. The ones that are huge family, they have 5 kids. I mean, that occupies my house right away. I mean, I have 30 people coming to my house, and my weekly announcement is that please bring your own chair when you come next time. you know, because people were sitting on the floor. And, you know, and I envision it. I mean, that's only like one third of what I've seen in the fellowships in India and Nepal. I mean, those guys didn't have chairs. They had auditoriums that filled with freaking 2,000 people, really. You know, I have my little dinky house, but 30 people was packed. We were packed like sardines. But, you know, all said and done, one day I talked to Lawrence about this. He says, Ethel, don't even cook anything. Are they coming nourishment for the food or spiritual nourishment? You maybe just have some coffee and cake. And then he goes, oh, no, don't even do that. You know? Anyway, all said and done, I got out of it, thankfully. And then I started really connecting with Lawrence and Kim. And I tell you, that is so life-changing. You know, God really showed me direction, how to go about walking with him and how to go about that minister, be that leader, more effective in your walk, in your relationship with God. Father, what really you have me to do? You know, I can't do everything. I got burned out. And I said, okay, that's done. Then I got into Zoom. That's good. I don't have to prepare. Just from the neck up, I can put makeup. That's it, right? And look okay. But then that was also like old paradigm kind of fellowship. And I had to get out from there. And thankfully, thank you, Lord. Man, he told me when we were at the Florida Airbnb, Ethel, God told me to tell you, why don't you just start your own Zoom? And when Lauren says that to me, I'm not so much trembling, but man, I better listen. And you know what? I know my Zoom. I have it every Wednesdays at 12 noon. I mean, I have couple that are coming diligently or religiously. However, it's like, okay, you guys can start to branch out too, you know. So I'm praying to God that God touch their hearts to stand up and rise up, okay? I mean, how are we going to grow if we just sit still in one position? You have to branch out. Okay. And one thing about me, I know I'm fierce. I mean, God is with me. I know I can do it. I don't take all the glory and the credit for that. But because I'm faithful, I'm fierce. I can do anything. I mean, last year alone, I've traveled by myself, lost my luggage in Amsterdam somehow. But, you know, I traveled by myself. When I lost my luggages, Sangit texted me and says, well, who are you with? I'm like, me and my daddy. Oh, he started laughing. He knew what I meant. But I was the first one at the airport because that day we were going to Calcutta. So, you know, I just so happened I got in a lounge, man. I slept for a few hours and had breakfast, all of that. It was all good, all learning. I mean, God puts you in a position where you really can learn if you want to learn and grow, okay? So don't be stagnant and just sit around kind of a thing. But what I'm saying is I'm just encouraging you guys, continue to look to God, because with God it's life, man. It's life-changing. And I'm still growing in leaps and bounds, and I want to grow some more and still grow some more. And all of that. And God, yeah, bring me these laborers that are hungry, who's like me, you know. So I'm looking forward for that Sunday physical fellowship, because I know there will be open doors. I mean, how are they going to know if you don't really put yourself out there, right? I mean, we can pray about it, yes. But sometimes, you know, as a laborer, you should really go out there and seek these people too, you know, and God will do the rest. Our job is to just open our mouth, be the mouthpiece for God, and the rest, God is the heart nudger and the heart changer. It's so exciting to walk with him this, because I don't know, but God knows who these people are. And you know what? They just fall in your lap. And before you know it, wow, thank you, Father's abundance of laborers now. They're popping like popcorns, okay? Very exciting walk. I highly encourage it. Yeah, you guys, I just want to let you know how blessed I am beyond measure, and how blessed I am that I hooked up with Lauren Kim, and that, you know, I'm not elevating them or giving them the glory. But you know, the thing is, it's their stand. All these years, no matter what, man, they didn't budge. They continue to look to God. And then I'm thinking now, too, as a minister and a leader, your life is in a fishbowl. Everybody's looking at you, right? And so, anyway, I just said, I just go to God. That's the first and foremost. And you'll come up, like Laura says, smelling like roses. Don't you want to smell like roses every day? And it's an exciting walk, you guys. I encourage you to do that all the time, because it's the only way to have that relationship with God, the most perfect and excellent way. So, twat, 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 that's my sharing. I love you all. I pray for you guys through via speaking in tongues. I don't know exactly what your needs are, what to be prayed for, but you know what? That's our fundamentals. It's the perfect prayer, and you guys are covered in that. So anyway, have a blessed evening, blessed week, blessed every day, because I'm blessed. Mwah!
Amen. Beautiful, Ethel. Yes, so that's it. And we walk with God. And yeah, I remember saying to you, don't put all the food on for people, you know, because people do end up getting comfortable just coming for that. And then when they realize it makes an impact. Like Sandgate used to do all that for everyone, you know. And if you think of the amount of people that go to his house on a daily basis, he might as well open up a supermarket on the back of his kitchen. You know? So so they just realized, like, okay, like, people come, they come for God, they come for the encouragement, and then that's what we do. And then there's times when we do the food, like you're doing it. Thanksgiving, is it you're doing?
Yeah.
So on those, mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a nice occasion to eat and do all those things together. And then, like, there's other things. Like, for me, I might do, like, I have a curry every Monday. And so I make it available. Whoever wants to come for one-on-one on the curry, you're welcome to come, you know. Oh. So Jack could jump on it, or Jason would come, or Danny and Amber if he's not working. So there's many different things there, like, you know. So, but we just do what God puts in our hearts to do, and we want people to walk with God, you know. That's our heart, is to direct people. Now you move with God. You begin your fellowship, like what you're doing with the people. And, yeah, stay connected. That's the most important thing. That's what I do with my minister. And then I'm encouraging, you know, you guys, you go to God. You practice these things. Do this. And because God's inspiring and working it to be spoken forward. And you'll find a lot of it's repeated as well, because it's just a reminder. These things need to be reminded and encouraged, and because it's so easy to come off it so quick. The honouring God, for example, people can change and drop quick as a hat. The speaking in tongues, people can just die down doing it, you know, or the confessions, and you can see it have an effect in the life. So you can see when people are not practicing, because it has an effect. You know, cause and effect type of thing. And it's either going to be high vibration level blessings and moving and testimonies, or it's just going to be quiet. You know, and problems and a few different other things going on or creeping in. So we just nip it in the bud. We just keep encouraging in the same direction. Keep moving. Keep looking to God, you know. Just stay tight to God and where you're connected. But God's working in you right where you are. You don't need permission from anyone to do what you're doing. You're just moving with God, like I'm doing. And then as God directs me, you know, I'm encouraging people. And so since I've been following this way of doing it, everyone is getting blessed to do it. You know, not just listening to it. No good just listening. The ones that put it to practice, that's what you got to do, you know, really. And like I say, we're not earning our salvation, because we're already born again saved. But if we want to manifest the blessings, then we need to do. We need to be doers of this encouragement. And it's done with joy and love and happiness, you know, not out of duty, we better do this type of thing. Anyway, with that, I'd like to ask Babby, are you home now, dear? Would you like to share his manga with you? Does he have any meows to share or anything like that?
Yeah, he does. He just meowed at you all. I don't know if you could hear him or not. He's happy that he could be in this Zoom call, because he tried to join the Zoom call a few days ago, bless his little fuzzy heart, but he didn't realize I was in fellowship. I was in a work meeting, and he was trying to give his 2 cents in the work meeting, and he was not welcome there, and he just didn't understand because he's such a big part of this fellowship. He was trying to pop his head up and be part of it, and I was having to bat him away, and he was really confused because he was used to me holding him when we were in the fellowship and popping up and being seen on the camera, so he was pretty mad at me. He thought I was keeping him from his Lawrence. But so, yeah, God bless you all greatly. And in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it has been a day, and I am so thankful to have had you all accompany me on my day as I was driving back from work. I was out and about today. I had to go to a big conference. It was a lot bigger than I thought it was, but I was blessed. They had a big lunch. I wasn't expecting that. So the lunch I took to work gets to be another meal that I have to cook in the next few days. So that was great. And but it was a big conference, and there were a lot of people there. And it just was – I wasn't expecting it. And, you know, and so I wasn't prepared for the 200-plus people, which I had to focus my energy on that for a little while. But you know what? God was with me, and God is great, and that's the one thing is that we know when we walk with God, he just provides us the energy that we need to do what we need to do and then move on. And then left that conference and tried to call in a little bit earlier, but it was a few minutes before the fellowship actually was going to start, so I figured you all hadn't gotten started yet, so I wasn't able to listen to the first few minutes, but had to go back to the office and begin a meeting, and so I joined a little bit later, but you all accompanied me on my drive back home, and there is just nothing, I think, more of a blessing. I mean, I love listening to the recordings of the fellowship on my way into work in the morning, but listening to you all, that fresh bread, in the evening when I'm driving home and I've had a long day and I'm really tired, it's just so refreshing to have you all. I just know that my family, the family of God, is with me, and I'm listening to you all and your sharings, and you're encouraging me. And there's so many things. There are things that I've done that I know that I shouldn't have done. That we've all done it, right? You say something and then you bite your tongue later and think, well, I was walking the way of the world, or you miss an opportunity that you think, well, maybe I should have said something there. And just being on the fellowship and hearing you all and kind of running through my mind of the day and how things went. And then Danny said a couple of things that just really touched me because they spoke directly to some things that I had experienced, you know, today. And sometimes I'm walking on that higher vibration, and sometimes I'm not because I'm learning. It's a practice, right? But, had some things happen today, and it's really funny because I just keep going back to assuring that Lawrence did. It's just, you know what, we're just like the Matrix. People put the words out there, but the words can't touch us. We just bound around and let the stuff fly by and don't look at the people in the flesh, because we know that when they come at us verbally or they say things, you know, they don't know about the higher frequency. They don't know how to walk with God like we do. They don't have the Christ in them. Or if they do, they are anemic Christians who don't know the truth, and they're not getting fresh bread. They're getting crumbs here or there if they're even eating spiritually. And what they're walking around in is this world. And, you know, someone asked me, it wasn't today, someone asked me the other day, they said, well, did you see the news? Oh, my God. And I said, well, no, I don't watch the news. And then the person proceeded to tell me what the news was. And I tried to explain, no, you can keep that to yourself. I don't need it. But they told me the situation. And I said, well, you know, and I said, well, there's a solution to it. And they got mad at me because I was positive in what they perceived to be a catastrophic situation. But, you know, whatever. It's kind of like that, especially when we have to be out and about and around people. And I know that God has different places for us and doing different things. And some of us, depending where we are in life, you know, where God has us, sometimes he has us at home and we are able to focus on the family or the fellowship or what God has for us. And some of us, God has out and about darting around the world, and you know, people come into our lives or situations are sometimes presented. But one of the things that he's really shown me is he's shown me over the years how to navigate circumstances. He showed me how to walk through the valley of darkness. I have been in some hairy situations, some hairy spiritual situations where God really taught me about the spiritual truths. I've had to deal with some some people that had major, major devil spirit operation. I learned so much walking with God and how to handle each and every situation, from the darkest situation to the most anemic person who just doesn't know God and their truth, and just to respond to them lovingly and to let God fill my mouth with the words to respond to what is intended to, we have that phrase, I don't know what it means exactly, get my goat, I actually looked it up the other day, but people who throw those things out there because they're trying to piss you off, they're trying to make you angry, they're trying to bring you into what they have, and they don't really have anything, they're just, they're so frustrated, and they don't even know why they're frustrated, and I, you know, sometimes people are mad at you, and they're not mad at you, they're mad at the Christ in you, and bless their hearts, they don't even realize it. So, Derek, you know, there's some people like that. And I have a stuffed goat, and I won't go into the story of the stuffed goat. I might tell you all one day, but there's a long story behind why I have a stuffed goat. And it's not a huge stuffed goat. It's a small stuffed goat. If you're going to have a stuffed goat, you shouldn't have a particularly large one. Who has space for a large stuffed goat? But anyway, I had this stuffed goat, and I wasn't really sure what to do with it, but there was a background to it. And I thought, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take that to the office, and I'm going to put it in my office. And people can't get my goat. Because it's my goat, and it's in my office. And it's a silly little joke, but it made me laugh, and I have my goat now in my office to remind me, you know, just whatever. I'm working at that higher frequency, and it's a time that I count all blessings, because we go through things like this, but it works patience in us. It works in us that we're not reliant on ourselves. We're reliant on God. And if he shows us what to do, that's great. And if he doesn't, you know, we'll learn from it. But we will learn something from it. Give me just one second. Sorry, cat fight. But, you know, we learn from it. We learn from these situations. We learn as we walk with God, and he teaches us, and he teaches us how to handle situations, cat fights, things like that. Mr. Mango's upset because I haven't given him any attention, because I just really walked in and took off the work clothes. But yeah, it's been a wonderful day, and I'm so blessed to be here with you all. I'm so blessed to have the opportunity to be in this fellowship and to share my heart with you all. And I am a little bit beat from today, but thank God he gave me the energy to get through the day and to spend that time with you listening to the sharings and the testimonies that really touched my heart. And just to know that you all are my family, and just so thankful to God for each and every one of you. And for the things that we're learning. And you know what? Lauren said it is so easy to forget, and it's weird. It's weird how easy it is to forget. Like, it's not hard, right? These are things we practice, we believe, we see the fruits, we honor our first fruits. We go to God. We connect with Lawrence. And if God inspires us with something, we connect with one another for that encouragement. We, you know, we share our hearts and build each other up, and we share messages on the little group we have, and we encourage one another. And if we need prayer or ministering to, we, you know, we do that. We say what we want, not what we see. We speak in tongues much. We practice our confessions. But how easy it is to forget those things. And it's so funny to me, because God really put it on my heart a couple of weeks ago. It was back in August when one of the fellowships, I think Mary Wade, was saying these things, and God really inspired me to list them out. And so I listed them out. And sometimes, you know, I have emotions, they pop up. And sometimes, personally, one thing for me that I've really in my life worked with God to not have is to not wake up angry, which is weird. But I grew up in a home where there was a lot of anger and a lot of screaming and a lot of breaking of things and a lot of chaos. And it was first thing in the morning, it was this attack. And one of my big things is when I wake up in the morning, I wanted to know what day it was. I wanted to know what month it was, because I grew up in chaos and disorder. And I want to have a plan. I want to have a structure to my day. And I want to wake up not angry. And recently, it's happened a couple times. Some people have done some things, and they've done some things. And in the world sense, I have every right to be livid. I have every right to be just you know, mad as can be at these people. You know, in the world sense, I have every bit of authority to call someone up and say, you know what, I'm going to tell you off because you've done this thing and you were bad and you were wrong. But it's not going to build that person up. And even thinking about it brings me down. And so I just woke up a couple days ago and I was mad again. I thought, no. I need to joy and rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is not right. I want to walk out at a higher frequency. And I came downstairs and opened my notebook, and there was a list of things. And I thought, well, why am I not saying what I want and not what I see? So I did that. And you know what? The next day happened again. And I came downstairs and I opened my little book up, and I'm like, but wait a second. I need to speak in tongues much. And so God inspired me to speak in tongues, and I spoke in tongues and spoke in tongues. And then he inspired me just to start making confessions. And I mean, to do an impersonation of Lawrence giving a sharing, pow, bang, wow, all these different things started coming out that were God-inspired to speak over the situation, which were absolutely the complete and total opposite of what had been going on in my mind. Because these things start on our mind, and then we dwell on them, and we play out different scenarios in our mind, and by the time you get in front of that individual, you are ready to just fire worldly things, which just bring down. But I'll tell you what, on two different occasions over the last week, for me dealing with this and going to God, the person has different scenarios spoken to me, and they were having a really hard time. They were really down. They were just at the end of the rope with stuff. And if I had gone to them and been all full of that worldly venom, it would have been incredibly destructive. And I didn't realize that. But you know who did realize that? The adversary. And I voted with God, because we have a decision. We can vote with the adversary, or can we vote with God? And I voted with God, and I took it to God. And he gave me the peace and the wisdom, and I was able to walk through a pretty adversarial situation the other day, and just all joy. And I just in the highest level, the highest frequency. And in your mind, you know, you get these little thoughts, well, what if this happens? And I thought, well, so what? What if it does happen? I'm a child of God. What? And I'm blessed. I'm blessed beyond measure. I'm blessed when I go in, and I'm blessed when I go out. And if that does happen, God's still going to bless me. And so not letting the things of this world even touch us. Just remember those things that we share, because they are actual truths. They are effective. You will see them work in your life. You will see the fruits. And I'm just so encouraged by all of you, and I love you all so very much, but I'm also really tired. So I'm going to stop talking, hand it back over to Lawrence, and just wish you all a wonderful week, and know that I speak in tongues for you. I love you all. I pray for you, and I love hearing your testimonies and sharings.
Wow, wonderful, Sharon Bambi. God bless your beautiful heart. So many great things you shared there, and God is at work, and he's working with us no matter where we are, what vibration we're on. He can get us higher. We speak in tongues, we start there, and then our confessions, and then just moving and doing what he's putting in our heart. But I know you've also been very fruitful there, haven't you? Pick him through your fruit there, lose all those tomatoes.
I will never again abundantly share for my produce. If for anyone who does not know, I somewhat jokingly sent abundant sharing because I wanted a great harvest, and I have been processing, I mean, hundreds of pounds of produce, and it won't stop. I got peas, I got lemon, I got tomatoes everywhere, and I told Lawrence, I said, you know, it works, but I'm gonna pull back on the abundantly sharing for the produce for my garden. So there's a physical reality, it does work, folks.
Brilliant, that's excellent. Well, I think it's been an absolutely fantastic night tonight, and I know God's at work.